two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Dave Palumbo, John Romano. RXMuscle.com presents Heavy Muscle Radio.
Watch out!
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by ALR Industries. Visit ALRIndustries.com.
Welcome to another episode of Heavy Muscle Radio. My name's Dave Palumbo, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host and compatriot in crime and New York resident-to-be, John Romano. How is the transition going, John?
It's going. We get on the road this week, so I'm very excited about coming home.
Yeah, I know. That's right. You're actually coming home to the place where you were brought up your whole life, pretty much.
You know, it's funny. Seaford is maybe, is what, 15 minutes from Woodbury?
Yeah, if that.
So it's like almost full circle.
Yeah.
Three countries, full circle, and I'm back.
What countries did you live in?
Costa Rica and Mexico.
Oh, I didn't know you were in Costa Rica.
A long time ago, yeah. I left New York. I went to Costa Rica first, and then to California, and then to Mexico, and then back to Florida, and then now I'm back to New York.
Well, I know what got you out to California, but what made you go to Costa Rica first?
Actually, my parents, my dad retired when I was... I guess right when I turned 17, he retired and bought a farm in Costa Rica, northern province of Costa,
really?
Costa Rica. Yeah, and it wasn't a huge, gigantic place, but it was. They grew sorghum and rice, and I forgot what else. So they had another crop up there.
What would possess him to want to buy a farm?
My dad didn't even want to be a doctor. He wanted to be a farmer, and he in fact. The only reason he went to medical school was because he was accepted to what's that top farming college in New York? I can't remember the name of it, but anyway, he was accepted, but he wasn't accepted till the following year. So a friend of his who was in going to Rome to go to medical school convinced him, look, become a doctor and buy the damn farm,
you know.
He got talked into becoming a doctor by two of his friends who were going to medical school. So he ended up going to medical school and becoming a psychiatrist and never bought the farm, but not in the
literally
euphemistic sense. But so when he had enough of being a doctor, he retired and bought a farm in Costa Rica.
What's the business model what's the business model there on a farm in Costa Rica?
Unfortunately, not the one he had, because he had anticipated, I guess, finances that would accommodate, I think, a tenfold increase in the cost of living. Mm-hmm. And during the course of time they went down there, I think it went up 800%.
Oh my
and
God!
He ended up having to go sell the farm and come back and become a doctor again.
Wow! How old is he when he retired?
Like 50.
Oh, so he was young still.
50, 52, yeah, something like that.
So now you went you went to Costa Rica with him, I assume, now. Is that what you're saying?
They went first. They went first, and then I finished school. They went first, and then I went down and joined them. I lived down there with them for about a year, and then it was nothing happening for me down there. I couldn't work. My sister and mother opened a bakery, and I wasn't interested in that. And there was really nothing for me to do. Americans can't work down there without all kinds of crazy permits, and you can't take a job away from a Costa Rican, a Tico. So I had nothing to do. And
God forbid we do that in the United States, right?
God forbid, yeah. And I didn't want to live home. I wanted, my own place and girls and all this other stuff. So I'm going back to New York.
How are the Costa Rican women down there?
Hot. Costa Rican women are different than sort of, the Latin women you find like in Mexico or whatever. They have more European influence. They're more bred with European from Spain. Spain, and other parts of Europe, and they're really very cultured and very cosmopolitan, and very open, very very approachable, and very nice.
Interesting.
So, any of you guys looking to go on spring break to Costa Rica? Go.
You think of like a doctor and a doctor of psychiatry. Your father was probably highly esteemed, and then he's just like, "I'm going to move down to Costa Rica." it almost sounds like unbelievable, you know?
you'd think. I mean, my dad. Maybe that's why I became a psychiatrist. Why he was got an interest in psychiatry, but he never did anything normal. It was always sort of abstract and you know. Just off the beaten path. I mean, everything that we did. I mean, I remember when we lived upstate New York, and he had all that land upstate New York near Poughkeepsie in Rhinebeck. He one day he came home and decided, okay, we're not going to the store anymore. We're going to live off the land for 3 years.
No.
And that was it. I mean, we went, the only things we bought at the store were like, soap and toilet paper, everything else we had to like make.
Really?
Yeah, we had chickens and pigs and goats and cows and gardens, and we were freezing and canning and butchering and smoking and sausaging.
Who slaughtered all the animals?
Well, we had a guy that came and we had the kid up the street came and killed the chickens.
Oh,
but we
go
after we got all the eggs from them, we got the eggs. My sister was milking the goats. Then we had, pigs and cows. And there was this guy that came and trailered them away and brought them back in little white packages. And, he wouldn't even turn the heat on. He had two or three fireplaces and two or three of those wood-burning stoves.
Right.
And that was like, I had to come home from school every day and split wood and cut cordwood and, stack it and carry it and chop it and cut it.
This explains a lot about you, John, that I never knew before. People think that I didn't know any of this about you.
It was like a survivalist. I mean, he taught us how to make fires and, made us go camping with nothing and live off the land. He my dad, for all his quirks, I mean, he raised very capable people. I mean, we can do anything. You can drop me in the middle of a forest, in the middle of nowhere, and I'll survive, eat, find my way out, and stay warm.
This is like the Wilderness Family. He must have seen that movie too many times or something like that.
No, but he I don't know. I guess, being raised during the Depression or whatever, I mean, there's a sense of, you need to know how to survive.
Right.
I find it funny. I went to a little thing with my son, a little kind of camp out thing, and it had rained the night before, and I got up and everybody's sitting around shivering. I go, why doesn't somebody make a fire? And they go, we can't, everything's all wet. And I go, what are you kidding me? In 5 minutes I had a roaring fire going.
That's great. This is something you may not know about me, but I'm a real animal lover, obviously, and while I have no problem eating the animals, I probably would have maybe balked at killing them, but I did I guess you could call it research one summer at college where I didn't go home, and I stayed over and I worked with this guy who was doing research on chickens. They would actually the research was with regard to thyroid hormone replacement and changing different level thyroid levels, and we had to inject the chickens. But I didn't realize this at the end of the 8 weeks, we had to kill the chickens to do the to take the breast muscle out, and then to all the assays they had to do on it. So
right.
When the autopsy, they call it, came, I didn't realize that he's like, all right, you're going to kill the chickens. I said, well, you're not going to kill the chickens. Now we hatched these eggs, and then we would the chickens were like big chickens by the time it was time to kill them. You had to put you had to hold the chicken into the sink, and you had to, with this like guillotine, chop the heads off, basically. And then you had to hold the chicken in the sink because, they literally run around without their heads on, and the blood gets everywhere. So you got to let them bleed out. So that was my job. I became the butcher that day. I killed about 40 chickens that day. Didn't even get to eat any of them.
Well, I remember one time up on the farm in upstate, I had shot a squirrel with my .22, And, you know, I'd never killed anything before. And I don't know what possessed me to shoot this thing, because everybody was hunting up there. They're shooting deers and,
right.
you know, turkeys and pheasants and squirrels and everything. And I don't know. I got this wild hair up my ass that I had to become a hunter, too, and assimilate, you know. So I'm out one day, and I shoot a squirrel. And I come home. I didn't take the squirrel home. I just shot it. You know, my father says, "Where's the? What happened? What'd you do?" I go, "I shot a squirrel." He goes, "Did you kill it?" And I go, "Yeah." He goes, "Where is it?" I go, "I don't know. I left it out there." He goes, "Go get it." He goes, you can't kill something for no reason. He made me go freaking find it. I had to track this dead squirrel down, find it, bring it back, and I'm holding it by like the last two hairs on its tail.
Right.
You know.
What do you want to do with it?
He made me skin it, gut it, cut it up, and cook it and eat
it. No, you ate the squirrel?
I had to. He said, you can't kill anything for no reason.
Oh, my God. How did it taste?
It was like chicken.
You probably have to eat a hell of a lot of squirrels to fill yourself up, I would think, you know?
I have to say, actually, it was pretty good, because by the time I was so traumatized. I was like, you know, 14.
Yeah.
I was so traumatized by the end of this gory, you know, episode. I had to figure out how to, you know, had it hanging up by the tail, and I'm skinning it, and it's like disgusting me, and then cutting it up, and its guts are coming out, and then I'm like, oh, like, had to cut its head off. I mean, I had to do all this treacherous job, and then I get it all dressed out, and you know, whatever, and I'm like. Panicked. Like, I'm destroyed. I got tears running down my face. I'm with a wreck. You know, I'm a city kid.
Yeah.
And you know, my mother saved me. She came and she helped me cut it up and cook it. It came out really good.
My
mom saved me.
That explains where your muscle chef tendencies came from, I guess. From the original squirrel you had to kill in saute as a 14-year-old kid, you know.
Well, I was cooking way before that, but I mean, that was tormenting me the whole time. I'm like, you know, slicing this thing to pieces and taking it apart. I'm thinking, how the hell am I going to cook it? You know.
You know, John, maybe you could write like a survival guide for bodybuilders if they get stuck in the desert and shit, or like in the woods.
Yeah.
Can you imagine getting stuck? Like, listen to this. Imagine like a plane goes down and you got Ronnie Coleman on the plane. You got me. You got Jeff, the producer, who eats every like 15 minutes, and then you got yourself, and we got stuck on this island, you know, for like a week before we get rescued. You'd be the only one who could feed us.
Jeff and me wouldn't be hungry.
Ronnie, you'd have to like go shark hunting for him, you know, to do something to get him enough food. Well, he'd die probably in a week.
Well, you know, it's funny when in Mexico there was this beach we used to go to. It wasn't an island. It was down the coast, but you had to take a boat to it. There were no roads, and it was called Las Animas. And there was a the reason we used to go there is because they used to make this peyote moonshine called Racia. And he used to, you know, buy a bottle of this for 100 pesos, it was like 10 bucks, and, you know, you drink it, and you hallucinate. So you sit on the beach and, you know, freaking hallucinate. But what was funny is that we would go there, my friends from Mexico and I, we would go there, we would never bring anything, because we would eat off the land when we went there. We would, you know, you get shrimp and fish and shellfish out of the ocean, coconuts, and there was these shoots off the baby palms that we used to eat, and this other root this guy found that you sort of like potato-y kind of thing that you could eat. We used to have a feast on the beach, you know, at the end of the day after we, you know, the ricea wore off. We used to have this big feast at the end of the day on the beach by the fire, and we didn't cost us a penny. We didn't bring anything with us. All off, you know, the stuff that we found and caught that we could, you know,
you
eat.
You should have opened a resort over there. That you missed your calling in life.
That was a cool place, man.
Well. We got some news to talk about, some business to talk about here tonight. We're obviously 4 or 5 days out now from the IFBB North American Championships. That's being promoted by Gary Udit. That's going to be the next pro qualifier, actually the only pro qualifier left before the NPC Nationals at the end of the year. We also got a couple. I have a couple of interesting news stories to discuss as well with you. You know, as you know, I made an appearance at NutriSport in Manhattan this past weekend, and a lot of RX Muscle people showed up, as well as some bodybuilding celebrities. Juan Diesel was there. Daryl G showed up. You know, Daryl lives in the city.
Was Daryl G allowed to talk to you?
Daryl G, yeah. Evidently, Daryl G was supposed to have an MD contract that never came through, and he's a little upset about that. And so he was talking to me, took some pictures, and you know, he's getting ready for the Olympia 202 class, and you know, he's kind of psyched. I think he told me he lost his job. He's kind of a little bummed out about that, but you know, he's trying to focus exclusively on the Olympia, and hopefully, he can you know, get signed by a supplement company or something like that after.
God, that's got to be rough, man. Have that carrot dangled in front of you, and then, you know, give up opportunities, and then, you know, lose your job, and then, you know, I'm sure no one over there is answering the phone for him now.
Nah, yeah, I think he's having some problems with communication, but maybe after they listen to this show, maybe he'll get the contract.
You and me have put more money into bodybuilders' pockets since we started this than any company on earth so far.
That's right. That's right. And so, yeah, the appearance went well. I actually videoed some of the seminar. I may put that up online in the next week or so. So if anyone wants to find out about some information about what we were talking about as far as the nutritional aspects of, you know, my beliefs and all that stuff. The Canadian Nationals were also this past weekend. I don't know if, did you know that, John?
Yeah, I was watching the thread on our main board.
Yeah, yeah. Too bad I couldn't. I was going to go over there originally and cover it, but as you know, you got to wait 5 years before they even let you reapply to go back into the country of Canada after you get convicted of a felony. So
you and I are not allowed in Canada or, oddly, Australia.
Yeah, yeah. I think Australia would be a lot easier. Canadian rules are a lot stricter, but yeah, you know how it goes.
What's funny about Australia is it started out as a penal colony.
I know, and then now they don't want to let any more criminals in.
They don't let felons in.
I guess they got a quota, you know. They got a quota on that. And the women's bodybuilding was won by Lyris Capel. I think I pronounced her name right. She's a new IFBB pro now. The men's was won by Mike Van Wyk, and we're going to be doing something with him, a little in the asylum with him, so that'll be cool. I know someone out there who's friends with him. The Masters was won by a guy I helped, actually, Mike Belisle. And so, you know, and Melody Spector won the Women's Masters. So it was a good show. I saw some pictures, you know, scattered here and there. We'll be putting up a whole bunch of paparazzi and backstage shots that I had a friend of mine take. And, you know, it's a shame. We should cover that show more, because they are kind of our neighbors, and these people will be competing in the IFBB, the winners. So, you know, maybe you and I can reapply for a visa next year and get over there. Cover the show.
I think the Mr. Mexico is a great show to cover too.
Yeah, no, it probably is. And you know what? A lot of those guys who do those shows, though, however, will be at the North American this coming week. Because as you know, the North American covers all of North America. So you'll get your Canadians, you'll get your Mexicans, and the United States people. And I got news for you. Those Mexicans now are bringing such a big team over. They win all those light classes. They win the lightweight, the welterweight, the middleweight. You can't touch those guys. They're freaky.
Not to mention the girls that are competing in figure, and the bikini girls that are going to come out of Mexico.
True.
Are going to knock everybody's socks
Never
off.
Never thought about that. Yeah, this will be the first year for that, so we'll have to see what they bring over. We'll have to see what arrives. Now, I got a funny letter. You know, these guys, these stink palmers are so funny.
I saw that one. That was insane. You got to read it. That's... The Stink one with Fest? The menu, the food they're going to serve?
Yeah, the Stink Fest. Stink Fest 09 is obviously coming up. This is the Stink Palmers. I guess they're like, it's kind of like their Olympia. And they're inviting us to come down there if we wanted to. I don't know if I'm available. This is on September 4th. I don't know if I want to even give up a day for that, you know. I think they're holding it in Yonkers, believe it, of all places. So they want us to send the film crew. They say there is a film crew coming from Funky Times and the Stink Berets and I don't know, all their other crazy. It's being held at Sweaty Gino's house, though, in Yonkers, they told me.
Sweaty Gino.
And the buffet consists of cheese plates, egg salad sandwiches, and a special dessert dish made out of tuna, Miracle Whip, raisins, shredded carrots, garnished with fresh mint leaves. And the beverages will include prune and vodka, Kahlua and Bailey, and a choice of Dutch beers. So, Sweaty Gino says this year's theme will be bondage and muscle. So, I don't know. Maybe we can...
Bondage and muscle is this year's theme?
Yep. Who can we send to cover it? I don't really want to go, but we must know someone who can go cover it.
Jeff?
Fuck out of here.
Nah, Jeff is too uptight. Jeff and Sean are too uptight.
Maybe it's Sean. Maybe Diego.
No, let's send Derek. Derek and Jimmy to Bull.
The fuck out of here. You think I want to fucking go eat egg salad with a bunch of people going to wipe their ass? Fuck you.
And Jimmy's very, very nervous about those guys because they're all in love with him. Yeah.
I think sending Jimmy to Bull would be so hysterical.
I think we should send Diego and Jimmy to Bull.
I would love to accompany Mr. Polecia to a stink bombing convention. I would.
It's the Olympia. Diego will probably get up and pose for them.
I will pose right now for you too. I'm still posing from last Thursday.
You know, speaking of emails, I got another email. I remember I read the email to you last week. I don't remember what show it was on, but about the guy who thinks that he can help me to win the Masters Nationals because he thinks that I was overcarbing. And well, I don't know. The guy must be. I've been going back and forth with him just to kind of, you know, hear him out. And his newest thing is that he wants me to speak to this doctor. Who's a close friend of his. I'm not going to give his real name just for anonymity purposes, who served in the Yugoslav army until the outbreak war in the Balkans. And I guess that was in 92 and 96. According to this guy, this doctor can perform surgical procedures on me that would completely recreate my structure into an aesthetically pleasing replica of near perfection. However, John, in order to do this, I must travel to Belgrade, okay? Because the doctor is avoiding a baseless, I'm quoting him on this, the doctor is avoiding a baseless warrant issued for crimes against humanity and war crimes stemming from the Bosnian conflict.
Go under anesthesia
I'm going basically for Joseph Mengele to work on me. And I'm half Jewish too, you know, to boot. Now the allegations.
That's the half he's going to take out.
Right. Now this is.
He's going to remove that half.
Right. That's the bad genetics part. Right. Exactly. Now these allegations. He claims that the allegations that this guy conducted scientific experiments on Bosnian prisoners of war. He said for the most part is false. Not that they're false, but for the most part.
For the most part.
According to this doctor, he says he could easily put over 310 pounds on my frame with under 4% body fat, and he can dry me out to the point that modern medicine will be left clueless as to how I'm still alive. But I will still be primed for action, and the best part, this is the best part, John, you will not be potassium depleted.
Okay? Oh, that's great.
This doctor supposedly did extensive underground work in organic chemistry and has developed a line of body enhancement agents that were originally intended for his country's national security laboratory. So if I'm willing to go under this guy's wing, in other words, if I'm willing to hire this guy for a nominal fee to train me, he'd be willing to travel with me to Belgrade. I will return in eight weeks larger than I was in the early 2000s, and I will be sliced, diced, and more vascular than I've ever been in my whole life. And he wanted to know if I was required to be drug tested because of my parole. I thought that would be a problem. P.S. He's like, I will be vacationing in Tijuana for the Pharmacias and the Street Pussy sometime in early September. Would you like to meet up with me? So maybe I'll send you down there, John, to meet with him since you're familiar with Tijuana.
Good Lord. You know, that reminds me of Jimmy Quinn one day was talking. I was talking to Dr. Nadler, the late Bruce Nadler,
right,
about Jimmy Quinn. And he was vehemently convincing me that, can you remember Quinn used to have those big obliques that made his midsection look blocky? He was doing his darndest to convince me that he could shave those obliques down and to give him a more, you know, aesthetic look.
Right.
I wonder if that sort of surgical procedure has been expanded in this good doctor's mind, and he's thinking of doing more than just chemical enhancements on you.
I don't know. I'm not willing to go to Belgrade to find out. Maybe 10 years ago I might have done it, but you know, not
I mean, can you imagine me writing the obituary? Yeah, you know, like Dave went to Belgrade with Mengele's assistant.
Right. The part that the scientific experiments on the Bosnian prisoners of war, for the most part, are false.
For the most part,
that threw me. That really, you know, that kind of was a deal breaker for me. You know.
Yeah, it was for the most part that I'm enjoying. What's for the less part?
I don't know. But I wanted to get the guy on the radio show and interview him. I thought he would be at least find out what these procedures are. But evidently they're top secret and they don't care to reveal anything. He doesn't want to go on the radio and talk about it. So
wow.
I said, well, look, you know, I'm willing to, you know, to hear him out. I mean, it sounds, you know, if he's got some interesting techniques, I don't want to be the guinea pig, but I'm all for hearing about it, right?
Yeah, I'll listen too.
So,
what about Diego? Let's get Diego to go.
Let's get Diego to do it.
I must perfect my physique first.
Let's send Diego down there, and we'll see if they can turn Diego into a world champion, then you know they can do it for anyone.
That's I would like to look like Palumbo from the early 2000s, sliced and diced.
So dry and hard that modern science will wonder how we're still alive.
Well, you know. What was his name?
Munzer.
Chris Duffy.
Oh.
Remember Chris Duffy?
Yeah, sure.
Chris Duffy said that if he could take anything to get him to win his pro card and he would die the next day, he would do it.
Really? Well, he got his pro card. They never competed again.
Well, he became a gay porn star.
Yeah, that's true. So maybe that was part of the deal he struck up with whoever, whatever devil he made a deal with.
Well, yeah, I know. I don't know. That's kind of strange, man. Remember when he went into that whole...
But you know what? He actually looked good when he got his pro card. When he won, he beats, like, DeMeo. He beat some good guys. I actually thought he looked good. I said, wow, this guy will probably make a pretty good pro, and then he never competed again.
And, you know, he did acid every weekend leading up to that show.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Something worked. Well, let's talk about the North Americans, because then we got a very special guest calling in tonight for the first time on at least Heavy Muscle Radio. We're going to have the one and only the Swami from Iron Man Magazine, Lonnie Tieper.
Ah, he'll be here. Go, Lonnie.
Yeah, he's going to be breaking down the North American Championships with us and seeing who he's predicting, because I haven't heard any predictions out of him. You know, he's always bragging about how his predictions are always right, so I want to hear what he's got to say and who he thinks is going to take the show. And, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about the Olympia with him as well, because I want to get his predictions on that as well. So we'll have him back in a little, we'll have him on in a little later. But for now, let's just give a little recap about what's going on at the North Americans, because once again, like I said, Gary Udit is holding the show out in Cleveland, Ohio. It's been very successful since he started staging this event. It's progressively grown every year. We have a lot of athletes coming this year, according to Gary, from Mexico and Canada. Obviously, you still have your pretty large contingents from the United States as well. But these Mexicans, John, show up with like 25 people. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
They really, I guess Gary has built a good relationship with them. And then the Canadians have become much more, also, you know, there was a big rift there for a while where it was looked down upon up in Canada if they came to the North American. But now there's, I guess Gary says there's a new peace and there's a new ruling regime in there, and I guess everything's kosher, so they'll be sending a bunch of people. I'm actually helping a lot of the Canadians that will be coming down here, so that should be interesting to see how that pans out. Now, Gary is giving away more pro cards this year than ever. Back in the day, he used to get two pro cards at the North American, one for the women bodybuilders overall, one for the men. This year, you're going to have the one for the men and the women, but you're also going to have one for the Masters men over 40 and the Masters men over 50 overall. And the women, you're going to have a women's open overall pro card, and then they're going to give a one for the 35 and over women, too. So that's two pro cards now for the women. In the in the fitness, they're going to give the overall fitness winner a pro card, and in the figure, they'll be giving two away in the open and one in the Masters figure, and then in bikini, they're going to give two in the open and one in the Masters bikini. Now, who thought they would ever hold Masters bikini? But I guess they are, and I guess the numbers are up there, and they're warranting a pro card. So Gary's going to be handing out a lot of hardware come Saturday night.
You know, I'm really glad to hear that, because, you know, back in the day, the North American was right up there with the USA and the Nationals. There was virtually, you know, no difference. And somehow, for some reason, I don't know what, they stopped having it for a couple of years.
Yeah, and then, no one, they were promoting it up in Canada, and I don't think it was doing very well up there. And, it's hard to travel up there and everything. So,
I'm glad. You know, I don't know if it was the North American. My memory escapes me, but there was one bodybuilding show they held in Mexico City, and it was ferocious. It was one of the most incredible shows.
Yeah, that was the North American one year they held that.
It must have been.
I forgot who won there, but I remember that.
And you know what they did was they had an exhibition at a disco that night, and they had a bunch of the bodybuilders just peeling off on the stage at the disco.
Oh, really?
The crowd went nuts. It was one of those they had huge clubs down there, gigantic, you never even saw here. And the four or five of the guys were up there on stage posing, and the crowd was going so berserk, I thought the riot was going to ensue.
It must have been fun. Definitely must have been fun.
It was definitely a good time.
Jimmy Quinn won when it was in Vegas, I believe, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, he did. Now, Jimmy Quinn also did a... we're talking a lot about Jimmy Quinn today.
Yeah.
Jimmy Quinn also did a exhibition in a disco in Mexico City.
Oh, did he? They must have gone nuts when he took her shirt off.
Crazy. I happen to have been there that time, too. And, it was... the walls are going to come in.
I can't imagine how many of those little Mexican chiquitas there probably were all over him too, I'm sure.
They were scared of him. Are you kidding me?
Oh, they were. never stopped Jimmy before.
Oh, my God. We were having sushi. Him, me, and a couple other guys. It was after we trained in San Diego. And, Jimmy's always used to wear the tank top with the knot, in the front.
Yeah.
and the shorts,
right.
The spandex shorts. And, Jimmy looks like, a veinier version of you, if anybody could imagine that. He was just shredded in veins 365 days a year. And he was probably 260, 280, and we're sitting there, having sushi, and this little tiny, meek, right off the boat Japanese girl, probably was, 4'8" and 73 pounds, is our server, and, barely speaks English, and something came up about, what he did for a living, and he said, I'm a pro bodybuilder. Jimmy was always quick to say, I'm a pro bodybuilder,
right.
And he was very proud of it. And she's like looking at him like you'd look at him, the Jolly Green Giant, and he turns his foot out and flexes his calf, and his, the whole inside of his legs and his calf is just striated in veins. This girl almost passed out. She had the look on her face was like she just saw the abominable snowman. It was incredible.
She did. That's why she did.
Probably did, right. Loch Ness Monster.
I'm looking forward to the North American this week. I think it's going to be a great show. We'll have the whole RX Muscle crew out there. Full contest coverage, as always. Live play-by-play. You guys will have it all. Interviews in the room, post-interviews, wrap-ups. We're bringing the whole crew. So, guys, actually, I'm going to have a species booth out there as well. So, it should be a fun weekend. But let's take a break, John. Give our sponsors some time to be heard. And when we come back, we will have our first guest, the Swami himself, Lonnie Tieper.
All right. See you in 2 minutes.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RXMuscle.com. ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today. When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenics protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenicsSRG.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenics product.
If you're a serious athlete, you know you need energy to keep going. Good energy.
I got that JoJo swag.
JoJo Energy Drink has it, with only 4 calories and no sugar, essential antioxidants, acai berry, and green tea extracts in pure spring water. And with flavor infusion technology, it's always 100% fresh. Oh yeah, with 6 incredible flavors, JoJo Energy Drink tastes awesome. Now you've got a new workout partner. Get good energy. Get JoJo Energy Drink. Available at JoJoEnergy.com.
Have supplement needs? Iron Flex Supplements, the science of sports nutrition, has you covered. IronFlexSupplements.com provides top quality products with prices 30 to 60% below retail. We help not only the hardcore athlete, but also anyone trying to get back in shape or who just want to maintain a healthy lifestyle. We have everything from pro hormones to protein to essential vitamins and minerals. Stuck with your current training regimen? Check out our personal training section. Here you can find a program to better fit your needs and goals. IronFlexSupplements.com, the only supplement site you'll ever need. German American Technologies. Compete harder with GATT supplements. Need energy? Gotta lose the fat? Jet fuel is the answer. Want to build muscle? Use Testogen to ramp up testosterone and start adding the size. How about some muscle exploding pumps and an enhanced training experience? You gotta get your hands on some Jet Fuel. GATT's newest nitric oxide training supplement that's guaranteed to work the second you try it. Join the team. Visit German American Technologies website now at TeamGAT.com. That's TeamGAT.com. German American Technologies. Compete harder. TeamGAT.com. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise, up-to-the-minute news, and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com. Heavy Muscle Radio.
Hey, this is the Game, Triple H from the WWE. You're listening to Heavy Muscle Radio with John Romano and Dave Palumbo.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by ALR Industries. Visit ALRIndustries.com.
Our next guest, or guests, I should say, are the top two dogs at ALRI Industries, none other than Arthur L. Ray and his smoking hot wife, Lena. How are you guys today?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you guys?
Hi, guys.
Hey, what's the? We're lucky. We got a 2-for-1 today.
Yeah, we got the voice of knowledge and the voice of reason.
Okay, which one's which?
We're trying to figure that out. So
we'll know by the end of the interview.
I'm gonna say, wait a minute. I know I strike out on both. I guess it's all you, Lena.
Oh, hey, no worries.
So what's up, guys? What can we talk about today?
Well, you know, the first thing I'd like to, since we have you both on the line, and, you know, this is really a first for us, is that I really, when I was kind of thinking of questions to ask you guys, I really couldn't think of too many husband and wife teams in the sports supplement biz, and I think that's kind of unique. How do you guys manage being married and being in the business together?
We have a boxing room out in the gym.
Yeah, and our offices are very far away from each other, so we can't hack things at each other.
Well, that's not true.
One in Texas and one in California, right?
I'm sorry?
One in Texas and one in California, right?
Well, actually, yeah, but you have to realize we have two different divisions, and we have the Texas division, then we have California. Lane and I have both spend most of our time in California, however.
Now, you know, it's interesting because, you know, Colette kind of helps me out a little bit with my business, and you know, not as much as you two, not the with the amount of stuff that you guys do. But how do you split your roles up? I mean, like, is Arthur all the creative aspect? Is Lena running the business? I mean, how do you guys like divide up, like, who does what? I mean, that's kind of important, I would think.
Well, pretty much like any other corporation, where I'm the CEO and a janitor, and Lena is the CFO, and she takes care of a lot of management, always team sales, and so on and so forth, from day-to-day operations. What would you say, Lena?
Oh, I agree. You know, Arthur teaches me a ton of things daily on how to handle stuff around the office. But, yeah, I think his creative mind I can't touch, so... He is the absolute brains behind our company, that's for sure.
So, Arthur, you formulate everything, in other words, pretty much. And Lena fires everyone.
Yeah, including me, by the way.
Hey, I rehired you last night. Shut up. Yeah, well,
that's the trade. What did he have to do to get rehired?
The whole casting couch, that's usually more Hollywood, you know?
Hey, there's perks to this job.
Hey, I saw the way Lena threw Jose Canseco out of your party last year at the Olympia.
Yeah.
I would
twice.
Twice.
I did. I you know what though? I gotta say, I'm not gonna bash him, but I'm sorry. If you do the crime, you better go down with the ship. I don't like rats, I don't like people that, you know, sell their partners out. I think that's a bunch of crap.
Oh, you know, all the backstabbing that's in any industry, including ours, but for the most part, there is, I'd say probably 95-98% of the people in our industry are really good people.
Oh, I tend to agree with you.
You know, speaking of Jose Canseco, you know, he's fighting someone else. He's already lost like two fights, one to Danny Bonaducci and one to that place kicker in the NFL. Can you believe
he's fighting Rodney King?
Right, he's fighting Rodney King.
Oh my God! You know, he's reached an all-time low. That poor guy.
Yeah, all because of you, Lena, throwing him out of that party.
Hey, I'll take credit for that.
I'd like to see him fight Lena.
I was just gonna say, set it up. I bet you I'll go off. My money's on Lena 3 rounds.
Mine too, man.
You got a ring? Don't you have a ring at the Olympia booth coming up?
We could.
Although that was a cage you wanted to have for all the people who challenge you on the boards, right?
Cage fighting, that's right.
Oh, everybody just bring
I'm a nasty German when I want to be.
Wow.
Well, hey, you're the girl who got invited to join the roller derby team just a few months ago.
That's true.
Really?
Wow.
Oh, yeah. She says, well, what do you think? And I'm sitting there looking at her, I'm thinking, I told her, you know, I don't think you'd be quite as pretty without front teeth, but I'll go for it.
Lena looks like she
didn't have the time.
You look like you could do roller derby. I can see you doing it, definitely.
Well, that's kind of what I thought too. And I thought it'd be a fun way to get my aggressions out. But then I thought, well, hell, I'm a mom, I'm a CFO, and got too much going on.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for the cleanup there. I appreciate you not saying him.
Yeah, you know, I was going to.
And you didn't want to be a husband of like a roller derby girl, you know? That didn't fit your lifestyle either, Arthur.
I was just going to say, it sounds like being the husband of a figure girl.
Oh.
The old Jeff Everson carry the gym bag, you know, role?
Right. Yeah, but at least, I mean, let's give Jeff credit. I mean, he was a serious, hardcore competitor at one time. I've seen the guy hit 600 on a bench.
Did you? Yeah. That's impressive.
It's also tough to show me, but I was still impressed.
Well, you know, speaking of, you know, janitors and firing and stuff like that, you guys recently had a little corporate shakeup, and two supposed key people are no longer with ALRI. Is there anything you guys want to sort of publicly state about that?
Well, I guess. I'm taking you referring to Chrissy Jen and Troy Johnson?
Correct.
Right.
Okay, well, bottom line, in our industry, as you know, about every 2 to 2.5 years, athletes just switch whoever they work for. That's the common. I mean, we take a look at the lineup, and it's this week somebody's representing one company. 2 weeks later, they're representing somebody. It's a chain of events. They're looking for the greatest promotion for their career, which I can fully understand. Christy and Troy had started a project a long time ago. And first we heard about it was, wasn't it the Olympian last year, honey?
Yeah.
Yeah, where they were doing work with Jane Awad and Chris, her bag holder, and I think it was Chris Morrell and I'm not quite sure who else originally was involved, but it finally ended up going to MHP. So MHP is now, they were working for MHP, and they didn't tell us about it, and Chrissy, of course, was under a contract with us. But I mean, with all due respect, you know, she's just trying to, she's doing anything she can to find a way to get to the top, at, regardless. You know what I mean? And so they were setting up with this reality thing. Originally, it was a reality show that turned into a show called Buff Enough. And it's about athletes. In short, that promotes them, how they started, where they got, and so on and so forth. Well, you know what I'm talking about, Dave. Jane used to be one of your girls, and yeah, she dropped out last year just as soon as she made the Olympia. And Chrissy just recently made the Olympia stage. We are so proud of her. We've been sponsoring her and covering the bills and everything. They're there for, what, 3 years, 4 years now?
Yep.
And now here she is. She's on Olympia stage, and she's got her shot, a little bit of stardom and a little bit of notoriety on this reality show with her husband Troy and a few other people. You know, the bottom line is we know the way athletes are. We know the way that when you sponsor somebody, what's going to happen. We don't. And the funny part is that they every tries to keep it secret. It's like, do you know how small this world is?
Is that lack of loyalty something that is not tolerable by you? I mean, because I know that you have some very, you know, set moral convictions.
I do, but you have to realize that we have somebody whose goal, I mean, you have to realize, to promote Chrissy, to put her in the position that she's in, probably cost us at least $500,000.
That's a lot of money.
So you have to realize that when you're promoting somebody, and you're, I mean, look at all the times we promote her through your shows and through when you're with MTE and all the magazine promotions we did for them, and all the ads that we used her in, and banners and so on and so forth. So she, I mean, nobody knew who she was before we started really promoting her. Well, we got behind her because, well, we love Chrissy. I mean, Chrissy was Lena's best, very best friend, and Troy used to be mine. Now they've moved on, and that's just the way the industry is. And I mean, we hold no harm, no negative towards them, no nothing, just
none at all.
I wish, you know, we've known that you were doing all these things at the same time. We just wish that you could have come forward and told the truth instead of trying to, you know, I don't even want to say it like it's negative, like hide it or whatever. Just why didn't they just speak up? We knew about this. It's just like when Chrissy went from you to Kim Udo the last day. Mm-hmm. That's just the way athletes are always looking for their advantage. In a manner that's going to promote them the best. If that's their goal, don't be surprised when they do it.
Hmm. Interesting.
I'm certainly not going to waste my time being upset about it. I mean, I know that's the way it is.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't make them bad people. It just means their goal in life. I mean, think about it. As athletes, you're an athlete too, Dave. You understand that kind of thing. Our nature is, by any and all means, we're going to be successful at our sport. True?
Well, some people have, like, I guess, more of a moral conviction not to necessarily you know, bite the hand that feeds them, but I guess you're right. There's a lot of athletes that are very opportunistic out there.
Well, there is, and there's a lot that aren't, too, but the point is that you have to go in expecting this.
As an owner, you said. As an owner.
Yeah, I mean, think about this. Troy has been my best friend for a lot of years. And to this day, I love that guy. I really do. He is, without a doubt, the best marketing model guy I have ever met in my whole life. I mean, he just comes up with a wall. Here's the line that fits in there. And I mean, it's like, where did you come up with that? You were sitting there eating a minute ago. he truly is a genius in that area. So if he's that way by nature, what a surprise that he's also doing everything he can to market himself and his wife into a position that, well, is where they want to be, where they're no longer under control of the owners of the companies, where they have some notoriety that's solely of their own. Yes, people like you, me, I mean, you paid for a whole lot of Chrissy and Troy's notoriety, and I paid for most of it. But the truth is Chrissy was a great administrator. She worked her butt off for us. She did great work for us at the booth and did great presentation. She was always up for a photo shoot. She was one of these people that, I mean, she could be doing a show, competing, and still work the booth. I was amazed at that.
Hmm. I always respected that from her because we would have booth girls complaining and, you know, my feet hurt, and I'm looking at Chrissy, who's, you know, carb depleted for several weeks, and she's out there in 5-inch stilettos just, you know,
and running the other girls. Remember that? All the times that she got on the other girls that weren't competing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she's getting them up working as hard as she is. But the point is, as far as the lowly thing goes, when you're dealing with athletes and you have in their head, and they're already, their goal, the reason they're with you is for promotion. Don't be surprised when they choose promotion over you.
Right.
I mean, it goes in. It's no different. You find me a Hollywood star, a Walton Wohler, anybody who's a pro athlete that hasn't actually gone into business, like yourself. You're a perfect example, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, well, you done.
Right.
You're better known than 99% of the pros in the industry.
Right.
It's because you've done a lot of promotion and so on and so forth, but you also worked your butt off for a lot of companies. Now you've built your own company. You've done a great job for yourself. You and John have teamed up to take your two talents and put together and move forward and as owners. Well, look at all the athletes that are surrounding you. I'm sure you're going to run into some of the same problems.
Right.
No, but you can't. You have to learn. We've been through this so many times that we just go in knowing that this is where it's going to go. And the truth is, when you truly care about something, Troy and Chrissy, we brought them out to California because they were having such hard times. And we just loved the hell out of those two, so we were doing everything we could. And Troy and Chrissy did do a good job while they were working for us. Yeah, I would love it if they could have been a little bit more honest, but the truth is they did exactly what we expected them to do.
Mm. All right, well,
I mean, what's the shock?
Right.
I mean, they did same, the VPX, same issue, Nutrilogic Genetics, whatever it was, same issue. I mean, there's a chain of events I could run down that would just, it would sound too negative if I said, and I don't want it to make it sound like I'm putting anybody down because, like I just said, they did a good job working for us.
Right. Well, we wanted to just bring that out because I think a lot of people associate the two of them with you and to not see them there. Sometimes, you know, people are going to say, well, what happened? And I'm glad that you were able to explain and put it out there so that at least our listeners know what exactly is going on. But let's talk about some more positive things, specifically your products, because I get a ton of emails all the time, and a lot of people come up to me at shows, and it's funny, I did an appearance at a NutriSports store in Manhattan, and people were asking me about your products, and I was there for Species. So, you know, it's funny, because people kind of, you know, back and forth refer to us, our products, as almost like we're the same company. Let's talk about poison, because poison is something that's on people's mind. I don't know if it's the name, but it's inciting a lot of emotion, a lot of people. What is exactly in poison? I know we've gone over this again, but give us a quick recap. What's in poison, and what's the use for it?
Okay, first of all, poison is, well, a long time back, we had a product called Venom that we discontinued at the end of 2007. We discontinued it because we had way too many FDA complaints about heart arrhythmia and so on and so forth. It was strong. So we took the same formulary. We added a couple of compounds, increased some of the dosages so that we have basically the same product, but we changed the delivery so it's a much smoother transition and it doesn't have the heavy spikes. Well, it turns out everybody wants the damn heavy spikes. So we said, I said, okay, you asked. So the question is, what's stronger than venom? Poison.
So you got the spikes and a stronger product is what you're saying.
It is way stronger. And I'm going to say this straight. This is not for everybody. This is for hardcore athletes that really want the ultimate in fat loss, energy, focus, mood enhancement, and way too much stuff.
Well. Now you said Venom had too many, FDA complaints. But and poison is stronger and more potent. How would you sort of fend off the downside of that?
Well, bottom line is real simple and sweet. We've made it very well known. We put the proper warning on the label and everything about these kind of side effects can happen if you overdose or if you're not using it properly or if you stack. See, the problem is always the same thing. People will stack one stem with another and then they say one of them caused the problem. No, it's the combination. I have sat and actually watched people take a Venom, drink a double Starbucks, and then shoot down some kind of a shot. And then they say, I think I'm a little too stimmed. Maybe that Venom was too strong. I look at them and go, the 2 grams of caffeine you just took in might have something to do with it.
Yeah. Well, we get that constantly, or somebody will call up screaming they were in the ER, and I'm like, well, how many did you take? And they're like, well, three.
Three.
And I go, well, if you read the label, it says one.
It says a half usually, right? The Venoms are done. The hyper shots, excuse me, are half.
One
right.
With food.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly so. And, I mean, so the bottom line is that, one is very good at carrying his help.
I remember.
And, two, hey, the industry has asked for the strongest fat burn, the strongest energy stimulant, and the greatest mood enhancement. So what we do is we mix them all together. And I've been working on this project for about 3 years now, and I've held back not releasing it because I always thought it was too strong. And Lena finally convinced me. She said, hey, people love Venom. So why don't we just put this out? It's far better.
I love this stuff. I've been on it for about 3 weeks now.
if you look on your boards, Dave, you have a few people we've given samples to, and I think one of your people had even made the comment that he was standing there sweating in his shorts for hours at the shows.
Allie Constantino took one, John, and she said her lips, she was eating with us, she's like, my lips are tingling, I don't know if this is normal. I said, no, that's normal.
I think we gave one to Sally Ann.
Yeah, I know we did, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, she liked it too. Yeah.
I love Sally Ann. Great lady.
You know, I'm going to tell you another funny story, because when I was at this appearance yesterday, a certain bodybuilder in the industry, and I know you know this, have to know this guy because you can't forget him. The guy's like over 7 feet tall. He had a long ponytail, and he you know that guy. He asks a lot of questions. He's a smart kid. He came up to me. He was asking me, how does Arthur get these names? What's with the names? Like, he was very disturbed about the names of your product. And I said, I don't know. I'll ask him. I got him on the show tomorrow.
Well, usually the stuff comes from different things. I thought it was rather irony. We'd heard a rumor recently that one of the industry naysayers who tends to hate anybody who, well, has a different company than his. And the guy's really into heavy drama. He had put out to several people that supposedly we were putting D&P in some of our fat burners. Since we just passed an FDA audit, and we just passed another one again recently. I mean, don't forget, we're fully FDA compliant now, and we're finishing up GMP compliance use right now, too.
Right.
We are checked, tested. I think we get proctology exams afterwards, too. But the bottom line is that we've been hearing this rumor and hearing this rumor, and you know how it is. The industry is full of people that, we like to talk. It's our nature. We have way too much fun. That's why we're part of this industry. It's fun to talk about everything.
Well, let's call it like it is. Patrick Arnold's the one who said that.
No, I wasn't going to say that. So we decided, in his honor, to name the product Poison.
Is that really?
It's rat poison.
See, that's what people want to know. That makes sense.
Oh my God!
We've had this ongoing little thing between us, but the truth is, I have got the greatest respect for that guy. He is one of the most intelligent minds in the industry. I mean, he may not be Mr. Personality at all times, but then again, hey, I'm an asshole half the time. So what do I have to say? You know. But Pat is a true genius. He comes up with all these wonderful, wonderful ideas, and he feels like his hands are tied constantly when he's trying to put out products, and I understand why he's so frustrated. So I kind of also look at Pat. I mean, I have to realize that a lot of the stuff when I was first really getting heavy into designs in the industry and doing a lot of the research and everything for other companies, that Pat was my hero.
Right.
I just couldn't believe some of the ideas this guy came up with, or the way he approached them, it was almost like he was intuitive to what to do next. It was just amazing. And unfortunately, he's gone through a whole series of events where he's just become very, very negative. Well, I had to be one of his targets that he doesn't particularly like, and I use him for entertainment.
Why doesn't he like you, though? I don't understand. You're kind of a likable guy.
Well, to be honest with you, because I'm guessing, and I could be wrong, it's because I am where he thought he should be.
Oh.
And the truth is, the guy should be doing much, much better in the industry and in the business. He just went through a lot of raw deals, and I really am hopeful that the guy gets an opportunity to really, you know, fly to where he was, the level he should be at.
But you were so always
come on.
You were always a target of the government. You were always a target of the government too. I mean, so you obviously found a way not to get in their way, you know, so to speak.
Yeah, it's real simple. They scare the shit out of me.
Right, but I mean, he could have done the same thing, really. I mean, theoretically, if you think about it.
Oh, absolutely. Anybody can. People get these bright ideas that they're going to take on the government and they're going to do this. Well, first of all, I've opted to live in the United States. I love my country dearly. I don't always agree with its politics, but I do love my country. I love the people in this country. I love the way that we're constantly moving in one direction and switching directions. It's just we're this huge melting pot. It's awesome. But when we have all these opportunities running around and different things, and we have the government issues that says this is the rule, that's the rule, as long as I live in this country, I have to live under their rules. It took me a long time to figure that out.
Yeah, a good state holiday to figure that out, huh?
From what I hear, yes.
Yeah, several years of holidays. Anyway, make a long story short, is if I want to change the rules, then I change countries, and I do quite often. When there's something I want to work on that I can't in the U.S., then I go where I can, so I can follow the legal guidelines. I do not want to get across with any of the three-letter alphabet. My answer to them at all times is yes, sir, yes, ma'am, and would you like coffee with that question? The truth is, people don't seem to get this. They're going to win. It's their country. They have all our money to spend to go after us if we want to pick a fight with them. Sure. So why would you be dumb enough to pick a fight and finance it at the same time?
You're right.
Yeah, they know.
Let's just not start fights, and we'll contact them frequently to make sure that we're at least on the borderline of acceptability zone, you know?
And then borderline is not as gray as it always was.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
it's getting kind of scary sometimes.
Yep.
But bottom line, well, as far as, like you said, about three-letter outfits and Patrick Arnold, well, Pat could have made a lot of other choices. If nothing else, worst case scenario, he's extremely entertaining.
Sure. I mean, sadly, though, it looks like
tantrums. And I mean, it's no different than. Have you ever noticed that every time that you have a rep or somebody who works for you leave, and you know, David, how it is. Every rotates about every two to three years.
Right.
And when they leave, the last thing you hear out the door or what they tell everybody they talk to is, "Oh, mark my words, that company's going under in 6 months." If they knew anything, why would they be changing companies constantly instead of running one?
Right. True.
I mean, come on. Every one of these people I hear say this stuff usually have bankrupted two or three of their own companies and gone, "Well, I'm going to go run yours."
Right.
You just kind of got to laugh. You got to go, okay. Hey, Pat, how's that business logic going? If Pat had a better business manager, Pat would be phenomenal.
Yeah, you're right.
You can sit down with Pat and he can spew off new ideas faster than he can eat tortillas. You know what I mean?
He shouldn't be running the company, is what you're saying. He should just be the brains, you know, doing the formulations and stuff like that.
That would be my suggestion. I mean, of course, I don't want to say what's right or wrong for Pat, but the guy is just so incredibly intelligent. And I mean, sometimes I read some of his posts and people say, "Great post, Pat." And I go, "And you have no idea what he just said." And they don't realize that some posts, even though they're sarcastic and they're caustic and everything, some of these posts have nuggets of information that if you pay attention are gold. The guy is, like I said, he's extremely a genius, but unfortunately, he's his own worst enemy as well. You do not pick up fights with a three-letter alphabet. They're going to win every time. They have all your money, all the resources, and all the laws on their side. They can come kick in your door, but can you go kick in theirs?
Nope.
And take everything that you have.
Right.
And then talk to you about it later.
Right. You're right.
Well, unfortunately, he hasn't finished pissing them off, so... I hope the best for Pat. I agree with you. He's a very intelligent guy, and certainly deserved a better shake than he got. But you know, as you eloquently stated, he is his own worst enemy, and that's really too bad.
And I mean, it's just like it's funny. I always hear about how much I hate Pat. Every single year, we invite him to the after hours parties at the AC and the Olympias. Every year, we put him in a taxi on the way out and take care of him, make sure he's okay, because just like most of our crew, he overparties it with the rest of them. And which, of course, leaves another question of who do we send from our crew to put Pat in a taxi since they can't walk either?
And the worst part is that we've actually put people in a taxi.
Well, we made the mistake of putting them in a taxi last year, and we sent them to the wrong hotel, so we're not quite sure what happened from there on.
We hold no responsibility for that.
Well, he's in the taxi, he's
on his own.
The truth is, we do try to look out for Pat, even if he is so hateful towards us.
Hey, I'm happy he boasted our Jungle Warfare sales.
Oh, oh God, Lena, tell that story. That was one of the funniest damn things that has ever happened in our career.
He started a thread on bodybuilding.com that we were putting anabolic steroids or something in our Jungle Warfare. And, well, you know, obviously our sales went through the roof. So the first time I had ever actually met him in person, I'd introduce myself and he goes, "Oh, hey, about that Jungle Warfare thing." And that's just what I believe. And I go, "Well, I'm not mad at all. I can't thank you enough. I feel like I should be giving you some commission. Our sales are skyrocketing, so thank you."
Yeah, it's funny. If Rick Collins wouldn't have the conflict out, he would have to. He could probably sue us for some royalties or something.
Yeah, he might be able to.
Well, he's everybody's attorney, so he's not going to conflict against.
Yeah, that's kind of.
The Pat can have as much Jungle Warfare as he wants.
Yes, he can, and I will personally send it to him. As a matter of fact, he's invited to the After Hours party at the Olympia this year, and we promise to get you in the right taxi this time.
I'm sure he'll show up if I know him. Speaking of the Olympia, guys, give us the lowdown on your booth. I hear you're spending, as they said in Pretty Woman, an obscene amount of money on the Olympia.
Well, first of all, you have to realize we are going under within 6 months, mark my word. So we really can't afford to be, we're all one of the sub sponsors. We're not the title sponsor, we are a sub sponsor. We are putting on a complete dance show with free giveaways. We're going to be doing promotionals. We are bringing, we're unveiling some new products while we're there, and we are bringing the entire staff. And there's going to be about 30 very good looking hotties there, one type or another.
Now, hold on a second. You said a dance troupe you're bringing?
Yeah, we're going to bring everybody. Here's one of the things is we love to do stage shows just because they're fun. They attract a crowd. The crowd enjoys it and stuff. And you know what? Everyone that is at the Olympia is basically my boss. These people pay our bills by buying our products, by having faith in us, by believing us. So we do our very best to deliver a show they can enjoy while they're there. We know that we're not going to make any money from being there to promote the company. We're there to thank the people that support us all these years.
Right. Well, I think indirectly, when people like to have fun at an event and they see your products, that definitely helps them to buy them when they go to the store the next time.
You know, I'd have to say you're definitely right to an extent. I mean, an example was that after the AC 2 years ago, we just went through the roof.
Yeah, you had a big splash.
We put on a huge, huge show, and I was kind of surprised. It's like, hey, I just saved banking.
Now, where's going to be the after party this year? What club are you holding it at?
Lena?
It's in the Mandalay Bay, and I don't even remember the name of the club.
Well, they keep changing the names of it, yeah.
Yeah, it's a ton of clubs in Mandalay Bay.
Jason Deere is putting it on, and Jason Deere does exceptional after-hours parties.
Now this
is should definitely be interesting. As a matter of fact, you do know about the midget wrestling. See, we were talking just the other day when we're looking at this whole chain of events with Troy and Chrissy and how to wish them the best in a good format. And I was trying to figure out, let's see, they're working for MHP and they're working for Kaspari. Which group do we invite?
I don't know, or not invite.
Oh my God, nothing against them. I wish them the very best.
You invite everyone. You never disinvite people, except if, you know, with the Canseco thing. You're pretty, you got to admit, you're pretty open. It's like Christmas time when you have a party. You kind of forget.
The truth is this, is when you can watch people and know the chain of events that are going to come, why get upset? You knew it was coming.
Right.
I mean, it's like the scorpion story. I mean, sometimes you befriend a scorpion. Hey, dodge the tail.
You're right. Now, so let's get back to the party, because all our listeners, that's what they're interested in. I know they want to know about your products, but they're interested in this party. So you're having this party at Mandalay Bay, and what's going to go on at this party? Because I know you told me you spent quite a bit of money setting this thing up, so I'm sure you have something planned there.
Jason asked me to actually bite my tongue on this one. He said, in short, he said, it'll be over the top. It'll definitely be different than anything we've done before, and we will go down in history. So it sounds more like we're selling Detroit for some reason, but I just know I'm going to find myself trying to overthrow Troy and going, was this in the game plan? When I say Troy, I'm sorry, that not Troy, Mr. Johnson. I was referring to the story of, oh God, the fall of Troy.
Oh, okay. Now, I guess you have one advantage at the Olympia over the Arnold, is that you don't have to be at the booth on Sunday, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Well, there's two advantages. One, at the AC, they control us way too much and basically get very upset because we got the pissed off ladies in the golf carts.
Right.
Oh, yeah, they don't want us back. That's for sure.
Now, have you been banned from the Arnold? Is that true?
I'm not sure we're fully banned, but I know that our requirements are, we're pretty much allowed to work at one stall in the bathroom.
It got so bad last year, they went to one of our distributors' booths that was there and made him take our products down.
What? Are you serious?
What? Oh, I'm dead serious.
Wow.
They have such a beef with us, and I don't have a clue, but... you know, our distributor was like, hey, we are a distributor. We'll put whoever's products up here we want to.
Right.
What's their beef? With them, Lane, you know as well as I do. It was when you told Grandma that you hope she gets run over by a reindeer.
Hey, I was a sweetheart. I didn't say one cuss word.
Well, this was after she put her finger in your chest about 15 times, telling us that we had to turn down the music, stop doing a show.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
We're blocking the crowd. Hey, Dave, I mean, between John, Dave, come on, you guys help me out a little here. isn't our job at the at a show to do a show, to market, to attract people, to entertain them, to bring them in so we have a chance to work with them and give them any answers that they may ask? Isn't crowd control up to them? That's not our problem.
You know what it is? I hate to say this, and it's actually a compliment, and they need a bigger venue.
You know? Oh, they definitely do. They absolutely do. DC used to be my favorite show. Olympia is right now because I love it. What happens in Vegas? Well, it goes all over the rip with the web and RX muscle.
Stays in Vegas, man.
Excuse me. That's just what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Sorry, I got that backwards.
Well,
John, last question.
I want to know if you got any more any kind of cool products coming down the pike. I'm sure you do. You want to talk about any of them?
Well, first of all, let me throw out poison. You asked about it earlier. Poison's kind of an interesting compound. First of all, I will put it against. I don't care what you come up with. I'm definitely not saying that it's a drug or that it's a pharmaceutical or it's comparable to any pharmaceutical. But bring any pharmaceutical against. Bottom line. I swear this stuff works so well and it's so enjoyable. You're in this killer mood. I love Lena's answer. She doesn't get poison in the morning. She starts getting really mean about 2 o'clock. Because, talking about the mood support and everything else, we also have another product we just released, which is his cousin, which is Comatose. Comatose essentially is a great sleep aid, recovery aid, and there's a lot of research that supports the components increase GH production significantly during the night. Well, you can do it also post-training and so on and so forth, and we've actually had numbers in the 400% range in the peak for GH. Well, the combination together allow you to have fat burning 24/7. First of all, poison is a time release dual layer tablet with some extremely high technology the way it's done. It gives you a full hour, 12 hours of energy and time release, and then beyond that still gives you appetite suppression when the final layer releases. So you have appetite suppression going into the night. Then you take Comatose, you go to bed, you have great dreams, you wake up in a great mood, a little bit leaner the night before, and let's do this again. This stuff is phenomenal. This is one of our proudest projects. Well, after that, we have the poison drink that's coming out, and poison drink. We're finally going to have the parting of the Red Sea of. We're going to draw a line what the energy drinks are supposed to be like.
Wow! So you're going to make this into a full blown energy drink, huh?
This is going to be the most powerful energy drink that has ever been out. We've got, as you know, our chain down, our WTF flavors are just phenomenal. We've been voted number one branched chain amino acid product and flavors in Australia and New Zealand already.
Wow.
WTF is quickly coming up there at phenomenal rates. We are shipping, I cannot be in that area because they do such a great job marketing over there. Mm-hmm. We've been shipping pallets as fast as we can get in right now, just overseas to Australia alone, just on the WTF. Well, imagine a drink that tastes that good, leaves you feeling in a phenomenal mood, burns fat, you have way too damn much energy. I mean, you can't get the urge to go wax the neighbor's car even though you hate him. Hey, buddy, it's all good, man. We're friends. Let's wax that car.
So now, aren't just to clarify, because a lot of people, I was confused. I think I finally got the whole deal, what's going on. Poison is replacing Venom, essentially, correct? And
there's no replacing Venom. It's just a design that I've been working on for over 3 years. My intent a long time ago was originally to release it only for hardcores and to a very limited amount. And I wasn't sure if I was going to release it. It was technically, it was Lana that convinced me. She goes, look, I love this stuff. It's the best product you've ever made. Why aren't we selling it? And I said, good question.
No, you tell us. And then is Comatose replacing Lean Dreams?
No. Two total different ideas. Okay. First of all, we have Hyperdrive, which is more of a mainstream / fitness area. I mean, it's a great product, especially for women and so on and so forth, and it's really great for fat burning. It's good mood modulating, and it will give you plenty of energy, but it will not geek you out where you're grinding your teeth. Poison, plan on grinding your teeth the entire time that you're on. I mean, it is, without a question, the strongest fat burner on the market legally available today.
Right. So it's one or the other. You're not. No one's taken poison and hyperdrive or a hyper shot at the same time.
Oh my God! I hope not. We already have a warning that says: Do not take with any other stims. Do not take with MAO inhibitors. Do not take with coffee. Do not take with.
I couldn't even imagine that. I've been taking poison daily. Our trial samples,
And I'm so spun out of my head every day, but it's a good, you know, you still have to focus. You still, I mean, you're in an incredible mood. You're not grinding your teeth so bad that you're anxiety bound. You're just pumped all day.
What'd you drop?
Can you still,
4 or 5 pounds?
Can you still take it with WTF?
Oh, yeah, I was eating garbage. I mean, I was on my, you know, chained to my desk, literally, and I was taking poison, and I still dropped about 5 pounds in a week.
Wow. No, but as far as training goes, like pre-training, you know, you're taking WTF and you're still taking poison. Is that too much of a stimulant combo?
No, it's not, because they affect different pathways. First of all, the amount of caffeine WTF is just to block the purine xanthan pathway. The other stims in it are basically are not CNS stims. They are more predominantly brain stims. In other words, they give you the feeling, the sensation of having excess energy, just like TTP does. We've discussed that in the past.
Right.
And what it does, it gives you incredible mental focus, an incredible attitude. Every time I take WTF, I just want to tear the gym up. But the two together do not counteract each other. They do not act as additives together, and they do not compound. In other words, even though you will find a slightly different stim, you're not getting a stimulant effect. You're not truly stemmed from CNS stimulation overall.
Well, I think you got some great stuff out there. Poison, you heard it from Arthur, the strongest the strongest stimulant on the market right now, and that is in wide release, Arthur?
It's getting ready to go on release in another week and a half. We're supposedly going to be shipping next Friday, but I'm going to say the following Monday would be best checked. Hey, Lena, how does that affect overall? How does that poison affect your appetite?
Oh, God. It's painful to slug down food.
Really?
I mean, the only reason I do it is because I'm starting to get, you know, it's been so long since I've eaten, I get a little, you know, hypo. And I have to force myself to eat. So, I mean, it's huge. It is way stronger appetite suppression.
Wow, so if you...
And I would say even hyperdrive.
And that makes us 50 for 51, then.
Arthur, Lena, we love you. You know, you've supported the RX Muscle Site since its inception, and we couldn't be doing what we're doing without you. And, you know, that loyalty means a lot to John and I, so we want to just say thank you from both of us. And, you know, keep up the great work, and I guess we'll probably run into you. Are you going to be at Atlantic City, or is the Olympia your next appearance?
Let's see, we have the Olympia, Atlantic City. I know we have a booth there. Lena, am I scheduled for Atlantic City?
No, you're not.
Okay, I'm somewhere else on that same weekend, aren't I?
Yes, you are.
So we'll see you.
So I won't see you in Atlantic City, but you will see some of our people there.
All right, well, we'll see you, though, and Lena, in Atlantic City at the Olympia for the greatest after party of all time, and a booth that will be go down in ages. Hopefully you won't be banned from the Olympia after this year.
I can tell you this, that this is going to be the best Expo show we have ever put on. And what it is, it's our farewell, because as you know, we're going out of business in 6 months.
That's right. That's right. Arthur, thanks. Lena, thanks. And we'll be in touch. We'll see you at the Olympia.
All righty.
Best wishes. Good night.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RXMuscle.com. ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today.
When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenics protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenicsSRG.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenics product.
If you're a serious athlete, you know you need energy to keep going. Good energy.
I got that JoJo swagger.
JoJo Energy Drink has it, with only 4 calories and no sugar, essential antioxidants, acai berry, and green tea extracts in pure spring water. And with flavor infusion technology, it's always 100% fresh. Oh yeah, with 6 incredible flavors, JoJo Energy Drink tastes awesome. Now you've got a new workout partner. Get good energy. Get JoJo Energy Drink. Available at JoJoEnergy.com.
Have supplement needs? Iron Flex Supplements, the science of sports nutrition, has you covered. IronFlexSupplements.com provides top quality products with prices 30 to 60% below retail. We help not only the hardcore athlete, but also anyone trying to get back in shape or who just want to maintain a healthy lifestyle. We have everything from pro hormones to protein to essential vitamins and minerals. Stuck with your current training regimen? Check out our personal training section. Here you can find a program to better fit your needs and goals. IronFlexSupplements.com, the only supplement site you'll ever need. German American Technologies. Compete harder with GATT supplements. Need energy? Gotta lose the fat? Jet fuel is the answer. Want to build muscle? Use Testogen to ramp up testosterone and start adding the size. How about some muscle exploding pumps and an enhanced training experience? You gotta get your hands on some Jet Fuel. Jet Fuel, GATT's newest nitric oxide training supplement that's guaranteed to work the second you try it. Join the team. Visit German American Technologies website now at TeamGAT.com. That's TeamGAT.com. German American Technologies. Compete harder. TeamGAT.com. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com. Heavy Muscle Radio.
Hey, this is Chuck Zito, and you're listening to Heavy Muscle Radio with Dave Palumbo and John Romano.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by Progenics. Visit ProgenicsSRG.com.
Right, our next guest is making his Heavy Muscle Radio debut. He's Iron Man Magazine's Predictor of Champions, the Swami himself, the one and only Lonnie Teeper. Welcome.
Yeah. Hey, you guys better need to change the name of that show if you want me as a guest. How about Little Muscle?
Little Muscle Radio?
I don't know. Very Little Muscle Radio with LT.
You've been holding on over the years. You work out. A lot of people don't realize that you go to the gym, man.
That's actually true. I try to go 4 to 5 times a week, and I'm about 190 at 5'10". And I probably have the most symmetrical physique in the industry. I'm horrible all over, but everything matches. And I do teach college physical education and health at the college level, which a lot of people don't know.
Lonnie, how old are you these days?
I forgot.
Don't pull a Ruth Silverman on me. Come on.
I'll just tell you this. I was born February 16th.
The day before me.
Day before you and a few years after you.
That's good.
a lot of February birthdays in bodybuilding.
When's John's birthday?
October 29th.
October 29th.
Halloween.
1960.
Wow.
Well, I read that you went into golds the first time at 18.
That's right.
So what'd you think of John's article he wrote about going back to golds after all these years, and he kind of was, depressed about the whole thing. Do you get the same feeling?
You know, because I don't really go out there that much, I used to go out there all the time about 20 years ago, and then I kind of had a hiatus because I live about 25, 30 miles inland from there. Mm-hmm. And I just really quit going, so I almost didn't see the change. And I understand when John was talking about all of the great bodybuilders that used to be in there. You'd see them at one time, you'd be tripping over them. But I tell you, in the 80s, it was even better. I remember a time when I went in there on a Saturday and you had Stridham, Mike Christian, Sean Ray, Rich Gaspari, Mike Quinn, Barry DeMay. The list just went on and on. I think Haney was out that weekend.
Wow.
And that was a time when Stridham and Christian were really at war with each other.
Yeah,
right. And they were, you know, going back and forth, so they'd have me tell the other guy something. Like, you know, like you know, Christian would go up and say, yeah, tell Gary, you know, what happened to his arms.
Oh, no.
And so Gary, I'd go up to Gary and he'd say, well, ask Mike what happened to his legs. And of course, here I am in the middle, probably ready to be amputated by both of them, you know. But
I
kind of thought it was kind of fun to stir it up a little bit.
When did you start writing for Iron Man magazine? What year was that?
My first article I ever wrote in this industry was 1983 for Muscle and Fitness. Then I started writing for Flex and then Sports Fitness, which now I believe is their Men's Fitness.
Right.
And my first article for Iron Man is when John Balick bought the book in 1986. He and Michael Nevue bought it from Perry and Mabel Rader in 86. And I used to go out to World Gym all the time in Santa Monica.
Right.
In the summer, I'd go almost every day. And John Balick happened to be in there. And Joe Gold said to me, there's John Balick. Why don't you ask him about writing for his magazine where you can start from the ground floor up? And I said, yeah, I am kind of frustrated, you know, like at Flex. I'm just not getting the assignments that I was told I was going to get, not anywhere near on a regular basis. So I went up to him, and he says, well, John said, you know, we're just starting out. All I could pay would be for expenses at this point, like for these events, because I said I'd like to cover shows and write your news gossip column and your feature stories, and explained to him that I'd come from a mainstream writing background. And they had known me because Michael Nevue did most of the photography on the stuff that I did for the Weider magazines, particularly Sports Fitness. So it wasn't like I didn't know him at all. And that was on a Tuesday afternoon. And 2 days later, I was on the plane with John going to Miami for the 1986 Women's Nationals.
Wow.
And I wrote my first news and views for their first issue, which was January 87 with Lee Haney on the cover, and I haven't missed one since.
It's a long career.
Yeah.
What do you think about the magazine industry, how it's evolved over the years? You know,
it's interesting. You know, none of us are really doing very well. A lot of people can talk about how many magazines they're selling and so on and so forth, but the print industry overall has taken a major hit along with everything else in our economy. I mean, newspapers folding and magazines folding and, you know, and with the internet now, geez, I mean, every time I sit down to write my news and views, I'm trying to change it a little bit each time because, you know, when John writes his article on going out to Gold's, you know, that just happened a couple days before and it's going right up. So you're right in the flavor of it.
Sure.
Here, I write a column. It's due on August 10th, and it comes out September 29th.
You know, outdated, yeah.
Way outdated, particularly show coverage. So my USA coverage in the last News and Views, I went from a way different angle, and I didn't do like a contest report anymore. I talked more about just how good a pro will Mark Albisi be, you know, and other interesting things that happened in Las Vegas. And took it from a different angle. Things that aren't as timely as far as, you know, what happened actually that weekend, as so much as to what's going to happen in the future, where it has some relevance when it's in print.
Right. Well, you actually predicted that Mark Albisi would win the USA Championships. I want to give you that little plug.
Well, and as you pointed out, I took the easy way out. He was the favorite.
It's true. What do you think could be done for the magazines? I mean, should they be a different direction? Should they be covering different things since you really can't do time-sensitive type issues in magazines anymore and have it be relevant?
You know, that's a good question because I think that's a question a lot of people have been battling, particularly of late. You're just never going to match the internet. You're not going to do it, particularly when it shows to when it comes to like contest coverage stuff. You're just not going to be able to do it. And I'm always thinking about my column. I try to come up with a theme now. For example, a couple issues back, I wrote about how I don't think anybody should requalify for their Mr. Olympia. I think they all should have to requalify.
You too, John.
Does John feel that too? Yep. Yes, that's just like Formula One. You start the year with zero.
Well, you know, when the Steelers won the Super Bowl, they don't get a free pass into the playoffs.
No. You got to start from scratch.
You know, the guy that just beat Tiger, what was it, the PGA?
Yeah.
The Korean guy, he doesn't automatically get, you know, get a three-stroke lead going into next year's event. And I just think that that everybody needs to requalify, not only to help out the promoters, it would help their shows, but let the fans see these guys. You know, you look at some of these shows, with all these pro shows, and I think there's too many pro shows.
Me too.
But, man, these things are really watered down.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, when you have people in your top three in pro shows that may not end up in the top 10 in the Olympia, that's saying something about the strength of the shows. And yeah. I tell you what, if it wasn't for the NPC shows coming in and these expos and everything kind of has an expo atmosphere now to draw on the people, you know, the shows themselves, other than one or two exceptions, really don't do very well.
Yeah, well, I think that's why they piggyback them with the NPC shows. They kind of carry each other.
That's a smart thing to do.
Yeah.
Seeing at the Ironman, we don't have an NPC show to go with it, so it makes it tough.
Yeah, but you guys always get a good crowd. Your expo's, you know, strong, and I think it's been established as a precedent, that show, as the first show of the year for so long now that people are excited to get back to bodybuilding, you know, by the time that you're
well, and it's interesting this year too is the show itself, even though the weekend's the same, the show itself is going to a spectacular venue called the Orpheum Theater.
Oh, you're moving it?
It's about six blocks from the LA Convention Center. I just sat down with John Balick after last year's show, and I don't know if this had anything to do with it, and I just said, John, there was this, it was like a mausoleum sitting in that flat seating in a room curtained off from rest of the expo. And the one thing about the Ironman that it's always known for is the classy venues that it's had and the spectacular lighting and the ambience.
Sure, sure.
And it lost that there. And I'm totally convinced that you can have two separate populations of watching that, you know, people going to the expo are interested in one thing, people going to the bodybuilding contest are interested in the contest. I think you could really separate the interest of those ticket buyers, and you can get two different crowds.
Hmm. Yeah, you're right. Right. You're right. You're right.
I agree with that.
So this new theater is going to be real nice, Lonnie?
Orpheum Theater, it's beautiful. Yeah, it's an old theater that's been totally renovated, about six blocks from the...
And where's
I guess I could be saying this. I don't, you know, Balick told me it's moving there.
Okay.
I haven't seen anything official on the website, so I may get in trouble for this.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
This is what I've been told. It's,
where's the expo going to be?
The expo's still going to be at the convention center.
I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think that's a good idea. You can't separate them by like six blocks. That's a pain
in
the ass.
It's not that far. No. I've been to the Orpheum Theater for several times when I lived out there. It's a great, beautiful place to have. It's as far as, you know, stage quality goes, it'll be a much better venue than the convention center.
Yeah, John's right. See, when we get pushed in a corner with some flat seating separated by a curtain,
yeah,
that takes away everything that the 20 years that the show has built up to get. And Dave, the reason I think you can do that is because this year proved it. We waited and started the show later, 8 o'clock at night. So people at the expo could then go out to dinner and then come back and watch the show.
Right.
Guess what? They didn't come back.
Oh.
So there's a different interest group going to the expo and going to the bodybuilding
show.
Yeah,
yeah.
And there's, you know, but for the ones who do, I mean, it's convenient down there. There's a ton of hotels right smack in that area. And it's not that far. And the Orpheum Theater, if you're going to put on a show, you know, that place is far more conducive to a show than a cordoned off area of the.
I would compare it to when we had it at the Pasadena Civic Auditorium.
I loved it. I loved Pasadena. I don't know why you took it out of there.
Well, here's what happened with Pasadena, and that's right up the street from where I live. Is the Pasadena Center went through a renovation, so they didn't have room for the expo. And now that that's completed, it's far too small. John Balick did go back up there and look at it because Pasadena was perfect. You had the Pasadena Center connected to the Pasadena Civic Auditorium, connected to the Sheraton Hotel. You know, everything was the beautiful mall right across the street.
It's great.
But it's just too small. So the Orpheum Theater mirrors more that Pasadena Civic Auditorium, so it's going to have that feel. Of course, the I think it's going to be at the end of January again, and that's tough. You know, it's not 2 weeks before the Arnold, but you know, you do you deal with the hands that you're
dealt. Yeah, you'll get it. It'll be all right. You'll get a good crowd. You got a good group last year.
Yeah, I've had a few guys say that they're thinking about doing the show, and if they do it, Mike Liberatore told me he's doing the show.
Yeah, I told him to do it.
So. Yeah, and Brandon Curry at the Police Fire game said he was really considering making his pro debut there.
I think it's good for these these rookie pro guys to use that as a launching pad, because you're not going to get probably your top five at the Arnold doing it because they don't want to do it. It's too early.
Right.
So it'll be a good it'll be almost like the Night of Champions was years ago, where all the intro guys did.
I agree, Dave. I think it's a great opportunity for these guys that are breaking into the pro situation, and it also breaks up the monotony. And even though these other guys are great at the Olympia, for example, you're still seeing the same guy pose for the 30th time
in
our life.
It's boring.
Yeah, and these guys, you know, like, how can this Liberatore do? How is Brandon Curry going to be as a pro?
Maybe he'll get Alvisi,
stuff like
too.
That. I was even talking with Alvisi, and he said he was going to sit out 09, which obviously was smart, and there was some talk about him doing, you know, the August shows next year, and I said, you know what you really ought to consider is waiting till 2011 and start with the Ironman.
He probably do it this year and do well at it, probably.
Well, actually, I thought he could too, but he says he doesn't just want a place, he wants to win. Well,
these guys are always taking too much time off. Come on, man. You got your pro card, use it. That's what I think.
Yeah, tell Evan Sadampani that.
Well, Evan only took 1 year off, though.
He took a year and a half.
Well, he could have done the Ironman. It would have been a year, about, you know. So.
Yeah, but see, if Valvisi does a 2011 Ironman, that's a year and a half. That's the same amount of time.
I guess.
Look what Phil Heath did, taking off the Olympias.
You know what happens, Liney? These guys get contracts where they're making money, and they're like, screw it, I don't need to compete.
That's another major point. That's right. Yeah,
that's why Evan didn't compete, and I'm sure Alvisi's the same way.
On the other side of the coin, you know, even though I feel, and John agrees with me, that everybody should have to requalify, I also understand it from the other side. Like Jay Cutler was talking, he said you'd really have to raise the prize money for these smaller shows, because we make so much more money than that from our contracts and just doing guest posings, where we make $7,000-$8,000 without taking our shirt off at a seminar at a Max Muscle signing or something.
Lonnie, what about what John recommended as doing like a point system, like they have in Formula One, where each show you win is a certain points, and at the end of the year you have an overall points winner that maybe you give like $500,000 to or something like that, to 200 grand.
I think that's a pretty damn good idea.
I think it's awesome.
It gets people out there competing again and with a purpose.
Yeah, because, I mean, you'll get Dexter Jackson doing every show if he thinks he can win another 200 grand at the end of the year.
Yeah, the way it is now, even if they have to requalify, they're going to win a $10,000 or $15,000 show, they're still going to be complaining about it, and they won't do it.
Right.
So that would be an incentive to get them out there again.
Plus, it's good for the sport. It's good for the fans. I mean, we get to see... I mean, you know, here we are, you know, bodybuilding fans. We want to see competition, and you know, you get to see, you know, the top, the best guys. You get to see them once a year.
Yeah,
you know, and
two if you're lucky,
you're in shape. You get to see them looking like, you know, bloated cows the rest of the time. But you know, it's not. I think it would serve the sport and serve the actual flavor of the competition if these guys had to, you know, pay more attention to actually staying in shape, getting ready for a show. Yeah, they can still do their guest posings. They can still work around all of that, but it makes their commitment to the sport more in favor of the fans, or look like it more in favor of the
fans. Well, let's look at Tiger Woods. You know, a lot of these bodybuilders say, "Yeah, but you know, it's the money. I wouldn't make as much money, and I blah blah blah." Well, Tiger Woods doesn't have to do all of those events that he does. In part, he does do it for the fans. You know, he makes $80 million a year outside of the sport.
True.
Sure.
You know, he competes. People want to see him compete. Yeah. You want to see Pete Sampras compete.
Right.
You don't want to just see Phil Heath at the Mr. Olympia. Let's see Phil Heath at the Ironman and the New York Pro and in Orlando or something.
Lex Wheeler used to do that, and Cormier used to do that all the time. They would do multiple shows. You know?
Yeah, and they kept those hospitals alive for years.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the North American Lonnie. I have a preliminary list of some people we could talk about, and let's let you do your predictions, and we can maybe debate a little bit. I sent you over a little preliminary list just to look at who I thought would be the top competitors. Let's start with the super heavyweight class, because I think this might be the most competitive class in the competition. From what I see, at least, you know, you have a pretty decent list of guys from Kirk DeFrancesco, Abbas Khatami, Keith Williams, who was second at the USA, Chad LeCount, who was fourth at the USA. What do you think? What's your outlook on this class?
Well, you know, I'm hearing that Williams is the odds-on favorite going into the show, and that's not anything I would really argue about. And I think the guy can. You know, both of you guys were there in Minnesota in 2008, and I was there also, where Williams won the Flex Wheeler Classic. So we saw him even back then. And is he good enough to win this show? Yes, he's absolutely good enough. But I tell you, there's three or four of the guys that you mentioned that I think are definitely good enough to beat him, too.
Well, you know, let's go back 1 year. I actually worked with him that year that he was at the Flex Wheeler Classic, and the year I think he placed second at the Junior Nationals behind Big Sean Allen, who beat him in the overall there. Big Sean Allen will be in this lineup too, and I'm sure he has got to be considered as one of the top guys also in this class. Do you think Williams has made that much of an improvement from last year to this that would warrant him easily winning this class?
You know, from the USA, I really didn't see that much of a difference.
Neither did I.
Let's face it, the super heavyweight class wasn't the strongest division on stage. No. And
Chad LeCount was the tightest guy up there. I was surprised
he
was fourth. Me too. I liked him.
I like LeCount, who took fourth, and I think, you know, people should watch out for this guy. I think he's one of the people who could take this class. I think the Persian Missile's got a shot.
That's Abbas Khatami?
Yeah, just before you steal the nickname, I just want to say the Persian Missile.
Yeah. Is that your original one?
Yeah, that's my original one. I hope he's Persian.
Now you're supposed to interview him in a week. Where has he been hiding? Oh, tomorrow.
I'm interviewing him tomorrow at Gold's Gym Venice, and I'm telling John right now I'm not going to be looking for that picture of Arnold up on the wall. I know he won't be there. We may have a shot of counter instead.
let's take a segue for 1 second, Ronnie. What do you think of that?
Well, I think it's exactly what you said, that, you know, now that Arnold's entrenched in Sacramento, they just don't want the connection to the bodybuilding because of probably the obvious problems and headaches it may bring with it, with a connection to a world dealing with, you know, substances that they don't want to, you know, face or deal with, you know, that what they consider negative publicity.
They got the Terminator movies floating around out there. He looks like a monster. I mean, what are you going to take all the Arnold movies off the market?
Yeah, but a lot of fans don't understand, you know, what it takes to look like the Terminator.
What about his biographies where he's, you know, talking about using all these drugs and, you know...
Well, I think Arnold...
no secret. I mean, Arnold's smoking weed on pumping iron. I mean, come on.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know how you get into politics and they change the demeanor of the person. You know, I mean, Arnold has acted much more serious. We all know Arnold from years back, and he was a hoot.
Yeah, he was.
And he was even a hoot on stage at the Arnold when I'd bring him out, and he'd always be making these funny jokes and stuff. And that's really changed a lot. And I don't know, I just think getting entrenched into this political environment just, you know, I don't know if it changes the person themselves, but I think the people behind the scenes probably request some type of change. So,
what do you think, as
John said, too, if, you know, you got Gold's Gym, and a lot of people still consider Arnold
if not the greatest bodybuilder of all time, the greatest, the most significant bodybuilder of all time.
Sure.
And that was at a different time and a different place, but you know, I'm just trying to think into their heads why they wouldn't want that up there, and that's the only thing I can think of.
I don't know. Well, getting back to the North America, Lonnie, who's going to be your pick for the super heavyweight class?
Oh, this is going to be a tough one. I'm going for the long shot. I'm going for the long shot.
And what's that?
Chad LeCount.
Really? I was going to say the same thing. So I'm going with the Lonnie Teeper pick. I was very impressed by this guy at the USA. I thought he was the most conditioned guy in the class, and I thought he was the most underrated. So I think he's going to stick out more in this lineup because it's not going to be as big as it was at the USA.
And I think if Kirk comes in much better condition, he's got a shot to win. And Abbas, now this guy's the X factor because he came out at the 07 Nationals, hadn't competed for a while, and was ripped. He may have been the most conditioned guy on stage, and he was a disputed fourth place in the heavyweight class. He could have been higher.
I think if
Katami is in that condition, and maybe with a little more upper body muscle so his legs don't overpower him, I think Katami could battle for the crown.
True.
And Keith Williams obviously can, too. I mean, there's no question that he's going in as a favorite, and it's probably not a bad pick. So this class is almost like the upcoming Mr. Olympia. It probably could go any way, four or five different guys having a true shot at it.
And like I said, you have Sean Allen in that lineup. You also have Michael Rice, who I think won the Collegiate Nationals a few years ago.
Rice.
Yeah,
Rice is really good. Sean Allen's going to be the biggest guy.
Yeah.
Probably coming in at 280
with
nice lines. And, you know, Sean, if he puts it together, is another guy.
Sure. So we'll see. I mean, I'm working with him again, so after a little hiatus, so we'll see.
What do you think? Do you think he's got a legit shot at winning it?
You know, there's probably not a competitor up there that, like you said, could stand with him size and shape-wise. The knock against him is his legs. His legs are not bad. They're good. They're not his most powerful body part, but his problem has been conditioning. I think he's going to be well-conditioned on stage, and I think he's going to be in that top five group. I don't know where he'll fall. I think he's got very realistic expectations. He really just wants to do better than he did before, and you never know. Sean Allen is a wild card. He's beaten all these guys before, so we'll have to see.
He's always interesting to have Sean on the show, and he's—I think he adds entertainment, and he's
without
fun
a doubt, without a doubt. Now, let's move to the heavyweight class, Lonnie. Lee Banks has decided to sit out the North American, which I think is a real mistake because I thought this was his show to win. Personally,
I don't understand that. I don't understand why Lee couldn't hang on a month and do that because you know what he waits and goes into the Nationals, and I think my man from Delaware, Fred Biggie Smalls, I think he can get him.
Yeah, he might.
I really like Smalls. He's really improving with every show. So I think Lee's taking a chance. He may be thinking now, well, I got a little more time to rest. And, of course, it's in front of the hometown fans and so forth. But I don't know. If I was looking at this field right here, I would have Lee Banks at the top of the list.
I agree 100%. 100%. Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about the heavyweights. You know, it's funny because the heavyweights in all the shows, the national qualifiers, at least the pro qualifiers, have been very, very competitive. Looking at the list, my eyes didn't really go to any specific one bodybuilder out there. Does anyone impress you on the list?
I'll tell you the guy that I'm going to go with in that heavyweight list, and I agree, there is nobody that jumps out. Now, I don't know about some of these Mexican guys and Canadian guys. You know, sometimes they show up, they're really good.
Right.
But there's a guy that I like named Dan Decker.
Best arms.
I think has a shot at that class.
Real good arms. He's got those freaky biceps.
Great arms.
Well, you know, Yano Garcia is a guy we just did an In the Iron Asylum training video with, and he won the Southern States heavyweight class. He's pretty freaky.
He is good. And I would say I would probably list him as the probable favorite going in at this point, coming off that big win and being, you know, getting the press that he has. Decker's awful good. Now, Darryl Terrell's interesting. This guy's got a great physique.
but he doesn't really seem to know where he belongs. He's a tweener like Jerome Ferguson.
Yeah, I think he's going to go down to light heavyweight, Lonnie. I've been working with him just the last 6 to 8 weeks, and he's close. I might just suck him down to light heavyweight.
Well, if he goes to light heavyweight, he's my pick in the light heavyweight class.
What about Jonathan Johnson? Here's a guy who's got great shape, good muscle size, never seems to really nail his conditioning. Do you think this guy's a threat?
I think he's a threat, but like you said, you got to put it together on game day, and you can't just go always on potential. And, you know, the way some of these guys come in peeled, you got to at least be near them condition-wise. You're not going to stand out. You get lost in the shuffle.
Right, right.
Right.
What about a P.D. Devers? I mean, this guy was such a talented guy back in the, I guess, early 2000. He kind of just hasn't put it together and doesn't show up in shape.
Yeah, he's on and off. You know, 1 year he'll look spectacular, and you think, well, he's going to get it. And then the next year he's off again. He's about 90%, 85%. And I think PD's in his 40s now. So I don't know. I just think it would be a huge upset if he took his class. A great guy, and his sister had some of the greatest hamstrings of all time when she won the Olympic 100 meters.
Yeah, she was in the Olympics.
I don't know if you remember, or John remembers that photo in Sports Illustrated. She was winning the hurdles and hit a hurdle.
Yeah.
And staggered into the tape and missed it. And the only thing that I noticed was this huge, gorgeous, well-sculpted hamstring. Look at those hamstrings, my God.
You sure Steve Wenderson didn't point that out to you?
No. Yeah. But he agreed with it after. Yeah, it didn't take him long. He didn't miss it.
All right, let's talk about the light heavyweights, which you might have put your finger on the button when you said Darryl Terrell there, because I'm not that impressed with the lineup, at least that I saw. Now, granted, Gary really doesn't have a deadline, so people may still be entering this week. I see a Jason Ciarabelli on the list, who won the Junior Nationals in 06 in the heavyweight class.
Yeah, he was good at that show. I haven't seen much of him since.
Yeah, he's I think he might be my favorite after just researching some of these guys.
Yeah, we don't know who's coming in. And some of the guys from Mexico and Canada may be awful good.
Yeah, the Mexican guys tend to stop at middleweight, I've noticed, at that show, because I guess they're not that tall. So most the best guys...
No, it's hard to be harder than a middleweight.
Those guys usually
win. You know, that just not allowing them to grow.
No. What is it, John, down there that makes the Mexicans so short?
It makes them so short?
Yeah.
Well, you know, they're closest to the equator, I guess. I don't know.
What does that have to do with it?
What? You're making a stereotypical judgment here. I mean, you know, some of them are short, not all of them. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's the nutrition. I mean, you know, a lot of Mexico is very poor, and, you know, you get malnourished as a child. You don't grow that big until they
get older and get together. East LA College, 6'7".
Wow.
Yeah, see?
Well, she's living in the United States, that's why.
Well, not really. It was East L.A.
Oh. East L.A.
It's like the Mexican consulate in America.
Yeah, the conditions aren't much better. Not much.
Well, you got Chris LeCompte, who's, I think he's sucking down to light heavyweight again. He was second at the Junior USA last year. He might be a factor in that class, but... But like you said, maybe Darryl Terrell and Jason Ciarabelli may be the favorites in that class.
You think Miguel Neal has a shot? Former Arnold Classic, Arnold Amateur champion.
And he was second at the Team Universe last year.
Second
at
the Team Universe. Yeah, very good physique.
Yeah, you never know. But if he's doing Team U, he's probably, he might not have the firepower to beat these guys. So, well, we'll have to see. Who's your pick for the overall? Just give us an overall pick.
I'm going with Chad LeCompte.
Wow. All right. You heard it. The Swami made his picks, and let's see what happens. We'll have to see how accurate you are.
Well, he's in Michigan, I believe. He's out of Michigan. There's absolutely nothing to do there.
He's up in the upper part of Michigan, too. And, you know, Colette, my fiancée, is from Michigan, and she said that's not even the real Michigan. It's so far up that they consider it like
so
Canada.
I'm assuming he's really, just grinding this out, man. He has no distractions.
No, not at all. Not at all. Let's talk a little about the Olympia, Lonnie, because everyone is, you know, buzzing about who's going to win. It's an open contest this year. What's your take on the whole Olympia lineup there?
Well, I've gone out on record, and a lot of people think I'm a little wacky, and they say I'm only picking this guy because he guest poses for me every year. But I'm thinking Jay Cutler could regain the Sandow because he's twice as wide as everybody else. And when you stand him next to these guys, does he have their shape? Of course not. Is he going to be conditioned like a lot of these guys? Probably not. But when you stand him side by side and you see the tremendous width, and I think Jay Cutler realizes this is a career-defining contest for him.
Yeah.
You know, is it going to be a Coleman thing where you go to fourth and then all of a sudden you're out of it completely and, you know, no one puts you among the leaders anymore? So I think with so much on the line, Jay, who's always been a hard worker, he's even more diligent this year. Matter of fact, Dave, did you see him at the USA this year? No, he didn't even stop by at the USA, and he lives a few miles away. He's putting all his eggs in one basket here, and you know he's going for the gusto.
Well, I saw him guest pose at the Dexter Jackson Classic down there, and he was very quiet, and he said that was the last traveling that he'd be doing, and that he's going to just concentrate on the Olympia. I think it really comes down to whether the guy can get himself ripped again. I haven't seen him in shape for 2 years now.
Yeah, he just doesn't seem to, you know, I've seen pictures of him the week of the show, but come game day, just something goes wrong. I don't know what it is. A couple times he had some infections to deal with and so forth, and that certainly doesn't help in going on antibiotics, but you can only use excuses so long. You know, you either do it or you don't. You better really do it when you have Kai Greene on one side and Dexter Jackson on the other side and Victor Martinez over here and Phil Heath right over there. There's no margin for error in this one. You know, there's any of those guys that we mentioned legitimately could win this contest. I mean, Dexter Jackson is a spectacular bodybuilder, and not a lot of people are predicting him to win again. He hasn't gotten a lot of respect as defending Mr. Olympia.
Well, you know, he's had something this year that he's never had before, which is an entire year off.
Yeah, I tell you, it wouldn't surprise me if Dexter Jackson came back and won again. He's really terrific. You know, and another thing, too, this isn't like handicapping next Sunday's Jets game where you know who's injured during the week and you can watch them film clips of their practice. I really haven't seen anybody other than I saw the video from that Jacksonville show, and to me, Phil Heath was head and shoulders better than anybody. Dexter was the second best physique, but 8 or 9 weeks out doesn't mean anything.
Right.
Well, to me, my pick is Kai Greene. I say he shows up in shape, no one beats him. He's got that freak factor that I think that people expect from a Mr. Olympia. Dexter was probably the first Mr. Olympia since, you know, probably Samir Banoot that didn't have that freak factor on stage. I mean, and I think they're going to go back to that. I think that's what the people define in their mind as Mr. Olympia. Dexter Jackson might be an Arnold Classic winner, but I think people want to see that freaky, ripped, crazy muscle, you know?
Well, I certainly can't argue with that. I emceed the Arnold again, and when I saw him, I was at the amateur show, emceeing the amateur finals over at the Expo main hall, and when I was walking out, people were telling me it was between Victor and Kai. Well, when I got to the podium that night and saw what Kai Greene looked like, I was stunned that people were even debating between the two. I was beyond stunned when I found out that Kai Greene actually trailed a lot. Not a lot of people know this.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Kai Greene trailed by 4 points going into the night show.
What prejudging were these guys watching?
And I didn't see the prejudging, but when I saw this guy on stage the finals, I'm thinking, holy smoke. And could Kai Greene win the Mr. Olympia? Without question. I did my picks for Iron Man. We had the experts do our picks, and believe me, I take that term experts lightly. But we did our top 10, and I'm trying to remember the order that I went. I think I went Cutler, Kai Greene, Phil Heath, Dexter Jackson, Victor Martinez, Dennis Wolf, Branch Warren, Tony Freeman, Melvin Anthony, and Silvio Samuel. I believe that was my top 10.
And what would John? What would you say to that? What's your top five? Give us your top five, John.
Me, my top five. Yeah. I can't imagine Kai Greene not winning the Olympia. I'm sure we're going to be treated to some form of health drama, you know, going into the last weeks here, that he's going to be passing out at Gold's, or, you know, in the hospital, or, you know, missing an arm in a car accident. We're going to hear something. I know we're not, it's not going to be a smooth sail right into the Olympics. I can guarantee you.
He's got to create that drama for himself.
Absolutely. There's going to be definitely some Kai Greene drama going in, but assuming that is just fluff and that nothing truly happens to him and he does, you know, come in at the top of his game, I'm seeing him settling into his, you know, his newly acquired, you know, physique, his new muscle, and, you know, honing it in better. And the guy's on fire. I mean, if all things being equal and all lights being green, I cannot imagine him not winning the Olympia. After that, it's pretty much a toss up, depending on who's on their game. Assuming everybody's on their game, I'm really big on Phil Heath. I know you guys all think that he's missing something, but the picture that I just saw of him, you know, 9 weeks out, I was so blown away by what he looked like. He looked to me like that myostatin negative cow on the big.
I'm a Heath fan. Matter of fact, I'll be honest with you. I thought Phil Heath coulda, shoulda won last year.
Yeah.
I was looking at him
on stage. I could not understand that he didn't. I mean, it was just amazing. So I would have Heath second. Assuming he looked like that, I would have him second. I would probably have, you know, depending on how they look, I mean, if Dennis Wolf has brought up his physique to the degree that it should have been, I could see him snag a solid third place. I don't know if Victor Martinez is going to bring himself back from, you know, his injury and catch up and gain the ground back that he lost. It didn't seem like it last year. I really hope he does. I really think that he's for no other reason than the fact that he's been gypped out of two Mr. Olympias already, and I would really like to see him at least get his one. But I could see him up there in that top five row too. But I'm gonna say Kai Greene in first, Phil Heath in second, current Mr. Olympia Dexter Jackson in third, and Victor Martinez fourth, and Dennis Wolf fifth.
So no Jay Cutler in the top five.
I like Jay so much. And it's so hard for me to make these predictions and separate, you know, the man from the bodybuilder. And it's got nothing to do with him personally, but I just think that guy, his body has had it. And it's just shown those signs that, you know, the bodies do after they've been dieted and rested and dieted and you know, added to, and all of the manipulations that they do to get up on that level. True, he's wider than a house, but I just don't see those aesthetics on him getting better. And him closing in on that 2001 showing that we all have been waiting for Jay Cutler to repeat, and I just don't see it in him. Nothing to do with him personally. It's just I don't see his physique, no matter how hard he works. I just don't see him doing it. And these newer guys that are coming up, I mean, you got Heath, you got Martinez is hungry, you've got Kai Greene. I just don't see him beating those guys. I mean, personally, I hope I'm wrong. I'm just looking at the physiques here, and I just don't see him in the top row.
I personally think that I agree. I think Kai Greene, it's his show to lose. I don't think Dexter will place any worse than second, because just the fact that he's a reigning Mr. Olympia, I know he's going to come in shredded. They're going to be comparing Kai and Dexter all day. That's my belief. And I think Phil Heath will be up there with them as well. So I think it'll be close between Phil and Dexter for second and third. As far as fourth goes, I think you're going to have a battle between Jay Cutler, Branch Warren, and Victor Martinez, believe it or not. I was going to ask about Branch Warren.
Anybody think Dennis Wolfe. He's got a shot. And Dennis Wolfe.
I think Branch is going to surprise everyone. He always does. When everyone and people count him out, he comes back better and harder and freakier. And I think he might crack that top six group this year.
Branch is my long shot pick to make the top five. Nobody's picking Branch to make the top five because right. of the obvious strength of this lineup, the depth of the lineup. But I was going to ask you guys, you know, who would you pick? I guess, Dave, you would go with Branch, too.
Yeah.
If you couldn't pick anybody we've talked about in the top five, does anybody else have a chance to really move into that top five? That would be surprising. So I think you and I are both going with Branch. I'd like to see what John thinks.
Well, you know, Branch is one of those guys that teeters right on that edge of the top row or not. He's I don't know why. I mean, it's certainly not his physique. It's got to do with, you know, how the judges view him. But if anybody else would fit in that category out of the top potential victors in that top five round, I would have to give it to Tony Freeman. If Tony right. Freeman can come in as shredded as he can and make some improvements in his, you know, in his middle back that he's, you know, needs to make over the last year, and you know, I know, Dave, you're working with him.
I would know better than anybody. I have to tell you, I haven't heard from him. So that's really what's making me nervous about even putting Tony Freeman on the prediction list. Not that he doesn't know what to do, because he knows the whole program. He could do it himself. But it's really hard to crack the whip on yourself the last 6 weeks. I don't know if Tony's going to be able to do that and pull that out. And the fact that he hasn't communicated with me might mean that he's not as being as strict as he should be doing. So I don't know. He's a wild card. That's why I really didn't factor him in yet. Now, if I hear from him and see differently, then I can give you personal feedback. But
I think I had him seventh. I think eighth. But and he's got a beautiful physique. I just think that, you know, it's a combination of two things: the tremendous amount of depth that we have this year, and the fact that as great as Tony has been in defying the aging process forever, I think he's about 44 now. And somewhere down the line, you cannot keep making improvements.
Right.
You know, you could still look spectacular at a certain age.
He can't worry about weight. He's going to have to come in super, super, super shredded. And, I hope that's his mindset. I don't really know what it is. Like I said, I haven't touched base with him. He hasn't touched base with me. So I don't know. I would say him and Dennis Wolfe are kind of like the wild cards in this whole thing.
Are they doing Atlantic City? Do you know? Is Tony doing Atlantic City? I know Melvin Anthony.
I don't know. Yeah, and, you know, we didn't even mention Melvin, but I have
Melvin in ninth in my pick. Mm-hmm. I think I had Freeman in eighth, Melvin ninth, and Samwell in tenth.
Yeah, this is
what saves Melvin is that he is such a showman and just so good at presenting himself. It's just that he just, no matter, I mean, the last time when he won the, was it the Atlantic City last year?
Yeah.
I mean, that was the best he's ever looked, and he still didn't have shredded glutes. So, I mean,
no. He just doesn't
when you're in that lineup, when you're going against, you know, guys who have striations on top of striations everywhere, it's hard to put a guy like that, you know, in a point of contention, because he's just missing that one bit of wow factor.
Well, you know, the one thing that two of the athletes have that John's mentioned, both of them, Phil Heath and Dennis Wolfe, the two things they have that the other guys don't have is youth.
True.
They're 30. Yeah. They're still maybe going on the way up of getting better and getting better. Bodybuilders have shown over recent times that you could still be terrific at 40-ish, but somewhere down the line, you know, you're not going to get better. And Heath and Wolfe are 30 years old, and I think they still have another 2 or 3 years of getting better. I think Kai Green, actually, he's about 35, I think, but he, considering the way he started and he did the Team Universe and stuff, he's obviously, I don't know if he has to get any better.
No.
If he looks like he did on stage in Columbus, Ohio, which I'm still shaking my head about, plus with that magnificent posing and the way he shows off his muscularity, part of me is saying the same thing you guys are saying. Can anybody beat Ty Green? But I'm going to go, and I do think Heath is absolutely terrific. When he won the Ironman 2 years ago, it was mind-boggling what he looked like. Just a tremendous bodybuilder. But a lot of people are saying you're sticking with Jay because he guest poses for you at your contest every year. And I go, that's true. But, you know, I think John touched on that too. I mean, Jay's such a great guy, such a great ambassador for the sport.
You got to put your reputation.
Man, really love this guy.
Yeah, but you got to put your reputation on the line for your personal relationship with him.
My reputation has been tattered many times over.
So selling out, Lonnie Teeper?
Well, now here's what I'm doing too, and I'll tell you, believe it or not, I never thought I'd say that Jay Cutler would be a long shot, but I'm going with the long shot.
All right.
If you guys told me, Lonnie, you cannot pick Jay Cutler because you know him too well, he gets poses at your show, who would you go with? There's no question I'd go between Ky Green and Phil Heath.
Well, you just made three picks. You just picked three people.
Yeah, and if you let me pick three or four more, I may end up being correct by game day.
Well, you know, that's the nature of this show. It is so deep and so, you know, pathetically stacked. I mean, how can you not make three predictions?
But yeah, I mean, it's really hard. When I did my top 10, I felt like saying, okay, that's round one. Now give me two more rounds.
Yeah, you want at least three or four chances.
And you know, when you really think about it, I put Jay in first, so now you got the spectacular Ky Green second and Phil Heath in third. Now I'm thinking, wow, I have Dexter Jackson in fourth and Victor Martinez in fifth, but you know, I can't put them one and 1A,
You got to do what Steve Wenisham does when he ranks the girls for the Arnold Classic. He puts everyone one. Number one,
right?
He ranks everyone first.
But wouldn't it be, Lonnie, the feel-good story of probably the decade of Jay Cutler winning his title back?
I think a lot of people, you know, are agreeing with the way you guys have him in fourth or fifth in that area. And I think not only the feel-good story of 2009. I think now here we're talking about a two-time Olympia champion and a three-time Arnold Classic champion who won tons of pro shows. But I think this really could go down as one of the great upsets in bodybuilding history if Jay Cutler could come back and defeat the likes of Ky Green, Phil Heath, Dexter Jackson, etc. I think it really could be. I think there's a real story in the making, and I think he's kind of sitting there in Vegas and listening to all these people saying he doesn't have a chance. And
all I know is, look, he's beat everyone on the list, okay, before, the year before, essentially, you know. So the only person he really hasn't beaten is Ky Green, the way Ky Green looks now. So, you know, if Ky Green's off, I say your scenario is possible. If Ky Green is not off, I don't think anyone beats him. I just don't think it's going
to
happen.
Yeah, it's hard to disagree with that.
So, all right,
Lonnie.
Yeah, Joe.
Wait, I want to ask Lonnie one other question. What do you think of this drama that sort of follows Ky Green around? I mean, did you fall for that last year of, you know, any of that?
You know, John, I've actually had people tell me a lot of that was true, that he, like, fell off the, you know, the treadmill and he almost died. And people were even talking to me at the USA. As a matter of fact, Hani Rambod, who works with Phil Heath, was saying this. Now, this may be you trying to set yourself up if your guy doesn't win. You have an excuse, but he says, you know, I don't know if anybody will do what Ky Green will do to train for this show.
He
this guy will literally almost kill himself.
What happened was he slipped on the treadmill, and it went from slipping on the treadmill to being unconscious in the ambulance, you know, from playing passing.
Well, he seemed pretty coherent when I was out there interviewing him. He's an amazing guy, this Ky Green. I got a funny story for you. I heard so much about him, and he was going to do the Team Universe. First time I ever saw him. We're probably talking 10 years ago.
Right.
So I'm sitting at the Tribeca, and I'm waiting for this Ky Green, and I go, you know, me with the lookalike, say, hey, there's a Gary Coleman lookalike. I got another lookalike here, you know. And I said, this guy's really overrated, man. I'm hearing all this stuff about him. And I'm sitting next to Reg Bradford. He goes, nope, LT, he's not overrated. I'm like, yeah, he is. Look at him. You know, what's there? Then he starts posing. I go, I stand corrected.
Right.
You know, this guy, and he's now 30, 40 pounds heavier, and he's so charismatic. And, man, this guy's got a lot of muscle, man. I think this guy's got as much muscle on his frame as Ronnie Coleman did.
And that's a feel-good story of all. I mean, this is a guy who's, basically a foster kid, growing up. And, I mean, to overcome the obstacles that he's overcome to be where he is today is almost unbelievable. If someone wrote it in a story, you wouldn't believe it.
Great stories if you get to know him. I mean, Jay Cutler from a blue-collar background in Massachusetts, who I never thought was going to be a great pro, said he was a blocky white guy. The Kai Green, like you said, didn't even have parents. I don't think Dexter Jackson had a terrific upbringing, and he's battled all the way up from the bantamweight class to be Mr. Olympia, which has never happened.
No.
Victor Martinez has not had it easy. And, of course, Victor Martinez has gone through a very tragic personal situation just recently when his sister was murdered in a hotel in New York, and in a horrible scenario. So I think that all of these guys are really just amazing people to even get to where they have. And like Branch Warren, we talked about, nobody works harder than Branch Warren. Tony Freeman defying the aging process, you know.
Yeah, Branch Warren didn't have a great upbringing, too. I know he didn't.
No, these guys really have overcome a lot. And I think they all, in all seriousness, they're all so great. I almost feel stupid to put, when I'm thinking, I'm putting Mr. Olympia in fourth place. We ought to just end these predictions. But the predictions are done for entertainment.
Sure.
And just to get it out there. And sometimes you're right and sometimes you're wrong. And
that's the way it goes, man.
It's the way it goes, but I think it adds to the excitement of the event. And I think Robin Chang, as soon as we get off the phone, should be sending us, money orders right now, because as much as we love this show.
Not to mention the Ben White, Johnny Jackson liftoff
Ben
showdown.
White, my man Ben White. Who's stronger between those two?
I don't know. A lot of people, are saying, Ben White is the real deal, so.
He's pretty strong.
He's just beaten Johnny twice in competition. So
I saw that.
He's up 2-1 now, 2-none right now.
Yeah, that's a good little match going. That's funny, those guys.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, Alani, I know you gotta be somewhere in 5 minutes. So let's just recap. The Swami picks Chad LeCount to win the North Americans, and he picks Jay Cutler to regain his Olympia title in come September. So we will see you out in. Are you going to be at the North American or no?
No, but I'll see you in Las Vegas.
All right. Viva Las Vegas.
John, you going to be there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was looking for you at the USA. I didn't see you there.
Yeah, no, Yelani, I'm in the midst of moving from Florida to New York in a very difficult situation.
I heard that. Is that true?
It's 100% true.
You're going back home.
Going back home. In fact, I'm moving three doors down from Dave, and we're taking over Seaford, New York.
Wow! All right,
and the internet, but both.
Yeah, well, you're doing that already. So, good job.
Thanks, Lonnie, for stopping by. Appreciate
okay.
it. And keep up the good work, and we'll see you at the Olympia.
Thank you. See you guys.
All right, John, that was a great show. And before we go, I have to thank, of course, our great sponsors for keeping us in business. Arthur L. Ray, obviously, who's on the show with his fantastic wife, Lena, and ALR Industries, obviously, have been backing us since day numero uno. And, without them, we couldn't do this. And, of course, Dr. Scott Connolly was on last week. He's been shelling up some dough to keep us in business as well. And JoJo Energy Drink, the official energy drink of the radio show, has been great as well. But for now, we're out of time. I'd like to thank our guests, Lonnie Teeper, Arthur L. Ray, and Lena Jensen for stopping by. Till next week, remember, with Heavy Muscle Radio,
the truth hurts.
Heavy Muscle Radio is a presentation of RxMuscle.com, the truth in bodybuilding. Tune in next week at the same time for another round with Dave Palumbo and John Romano, only on Heavy Muscle Radio.